Blog Talk Radio.
Let's drop that old one that we used to do back in the day.
Mic cue.
Thank you.
having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit.
Speaking the tongues, I be spitting this. Speaking the tongues. Yeah. Dallas, Texas. Get ready. The Who Do You Think You Are Ball. Saturday, November 30th. Presented by Abounding Prosperity, along with the icon pioneer, Larry Ebony, and the Gulf Coast Prince, Kendall Escada. Grand prize, $1,500. Open to all realness, with the look and attitude of a celebrity. Mini grand, open to all sex sirens, for $500. Open to all best dress, $500. Open to all runway, $500. And performance bliss for $250. That's the Who Do You Think You Are Ball. Saturday, November 30th in Dallas, Texas. The location, Fiesta Event Center, 704 South Walton Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. Doors open at 7, LSS at 8 p.m. Your commentator, the icon, Jack Mizrahi. Admission, $30. Tables, $100 before November 15th, $150 afterwards. There will be HIV testing at the event center and free admission for those that get tested. Again, the Who Do You Think You Are Ball, presented by Abounding Prosperity, the icon Larry Ebony, and Prince Kendall Escada. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for November 30th. The Who Do You Think You Are Ball. Get ready, Hollywood, Florida. Sierra Mizrahi presents an African Affair Ball, November 15th. Grand prize, open to all tag team fates for $1,000. Your Highness. Tonight, we want to see royalty, a history lesson in Egypt. Grand prize number two, Miss Universe, best gown presentation for $500. Mini grand number one, open to all, teen realness for $250, battle of the dynasties. Mini grand number two, open to all, tag team runway, $250, the mummy. Grand prize number three, Butch Queen Vogue Femme, soft and cunt versus dramatics for $250 plus a $10 pop. That's the African Affair Ball, presented by Sierra Mizrahi, November 15th. Location, Hollywood JC, 2930 Hollywood Boulevard. Doors open at 8 p.m., LSS at 9, admission $30 all night. VIP tables, $100. Your MC, Greg Lavin. Your DJ, King Jubilee. For more information, contact Sierra Mizrahi on Facebook or visit the event page, November 15th, An African Affair.
Welcome to the State of Emergency Show, where tonight we will be talking about trust. How's everyone doing tonight out there in Radio Land and all the American Horror Story fans? We will be recapping tonight's episode. Sometimes I want to talk about it in the very beginning because it's fresh off my, you know, fresh off my, fresh, you know, still fresh in my head. And then, you know, sometimes I want to kind of wait and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe we should talk about it in the beginning, or maybe we should talk about it towards the end of the show. I think I'll just ask the panelists. But tonight, because right now everybody's still trending on Facebook and on Twitter about American Horror Story, so maybe we should kind of get it out the way in the beginning of the show and talk about it for a little bit. But for all the American Horror Story fans, every Wednesday I do like to talk about the episode itself, just to, you know, kind of release it and things of that sort, because the show is just so damn good. And I already heard that they're already renewed for next season, so they're doing another season, season 4. Of course, it won't have anything to do with this season as far as Coven goes, because each season is different. The first season dealt with Ghost. The second season dealt with an asylum back in, I think, the 60s. And, you know, now we're dealing with witches. So, we'll talk about that tonight. But tonight's topic has to do with trust. And the reason why I brought up tonight's topic is because, well, the reason why I created tonight's topic is because over the past 48 hours, I've been talking to a couple of different people. Shout out to a new resident here in Florida, who has moved down here. We had a long talk the other night. And she was actually opening up to me about different issues and things that she felt that she dealt with. And a lot of it was trust issues with other people. And it kind of, you know, I could relate to what she was talking about, as well as other things and other people as well. And then even today itself, this morning I got a call from the father, you know, the icon himself and the issues that he was dealing with and everything. So I said, you know what, let me create this topic as far as trust goes, because I truly feel that there is a very big lack of trust, and not just within our community, not just within the ballroom scene, not just within our circles and stuff, but I think in our lives, period. We deal with coworkers, we deal with bosses, we deal with in the education system, even in the government, you know, family members, people we call our brothers and our sisters. Look at the big fiasco that happened with Kelly and everything, you know, it all has to do with trust. And the big issue is, who do you trust? And is there anyone out there that you can trust? And why, when you do trust people and you kind of let your guard down, you feel like, you know, they either take you for granted, walk over you, or stab you in the back. And, you know, that's where the problem lies. So how do you deal with it? I know they say trust no one but God. And, of course, that's all you can do. But there has to be some type of leeway. It has to be something out there or someone. You know, who do you really trust? You know, we talked about, and at times, even parents, where parents will close their door and turn their back on you and things of that sort. You know, it's just a lot when it comes to the word trust. Is it, you know, is it really out there? What can you do? And then eventually you kind of get so bored. Not bored, but you get so fed up that you just kind of give up on everything. And, you know, what does that make you? Then they say, oh, you're bitter, you're a bitch, you're angry, or so frustrated. You know, so it's so much. It takes so many years to build a relationship or build trust with someone, and it only takes a few seconds to break it. Just a few seconds. Years to build, but seconds to break. And it can take forever to repair. And that's even quotes that I, you know, found when I was looking at them. And one thing about it is, especially sometimes within our community, that we have so many young people or people that don't have too many people at all. So they really, you know, let their guard down quickly, and they're sitting here trusting everyone and falling in love with everyone and so forth and so on. And then, boom, they're getting hurt over and over and over again. So I want to kind of get everybody's opinion on the trust values when it comes to your life itself. Not just friends, not just family. It can be your relationship. It could be people at work. It can be, you know, what has caused you to be so angry, what has caused you to react the way that you react, what causes you to live the way that you do, and how do you deal with it, you know, and do you have somebody that you do trust? So that's where tonight's topic is going to go. I also would I'd like to invite the father, Tony Revlon, the icon himself, to come on the air and speak tonight about some of the things that have been going on lately and the backlash that he has been receiving in reference to his house. And, of course, the breaking news that we did receive this morning from the lovely Letitia, who stated that she's no longer a part of the house. She is more than welcome to come on the air as well. I have a lot of respect for both of these icons. These are two people that I grew up looking up to. And I'm sure that any differences that they need to settle, they can settle among themselves in the privacy of themselves. But if they need to speak about anything, or, and I think speak about it professionally, or just kind of release what they need to release, they are more than welcome to come on the air and do that, because you fags out there have a tendency of taking something and running with it. And by the time it gets to where it needs to go, or not even where it needs to go, where it shouldn't be, stories have been twisted around. So if you guys want clarity or they want to clarify anything, they are more than welcome to come on the air and do so. I truly believe that we can read messages on Facebook, but there's nothing like a bitch saying it. And y'all can hear it coming out of that person's mouth. So they are more than welcome to come on the air because they are family. So with all that being said and done, welcome again to the State of Emergency Show. And let's get this show going. I don't know where everybody is, but guess what? I ain't chasing after nobody either. So if you're here, you're here, and you ain't, the show is welcome. This is not a show that has cast members. So the show is welcome to anyone that would love to sit with us on the panel and talk among us for tonight's topic. Shout out again to Shamika, who is celebrating her 21st birthday. Hopefully she will be on the air tonight to talk with us. If she's not wasted or tired or whatever, it is her birthday, and I know she is a resident from New Orleans, so I know there's a lot to do out there, and she usually sits with us. So shout out again and happy birthday to the lovely Shamika. But let's get the show rolling. Calvin, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
I could be doing better, but I won't complain.
Oh, here we go. I be telling ya, don't. What's going on, Calvin?
You're not going to get me talking about it and start crying, but just some relationship issues, friendship issues, shit like that.
Trust.
Yes.
There you go, trust. Told ya. Mama always predicts the shit that always happens. Jesus Christ. I see you, sis. I got you. All right. I thought you was going to change your name. Did you change your name yet, Dick, or what? What's up? Because I told you I don't like using that name.
Yeah, but it's still under, they have to approve it because it's a little bit whatever, but... Hello,
I'm going to need you to take the pillow off your head because you sound muffled.
Hold on one second. Let me do this. Let me help you out. All right. Hello, everybody. How y'all doing out there? Yeah, I changed it, but it's still being approved.
It's being approved.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. My sister, Amaya Revlon, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, everybody. How are you?
Fine.
Hey,
how are
you? How are you?
Dr. Crow.
I'm here.
Girl, you sound like you're in that kitchen. What are you doing?
I'm grilling a steak and a baked potato for my baby because he just came home.
Oh, wow. Steak and potatoes at midnight.
That's what he like, you know, he's skinny, so he can eat anything, but...
Oh, he has that metabolism.
Yeah. I couldn't
You know,
eat
a bitch like us, a bitch like me, honey, you can't, you gotta, the doctor said, honey, you better stop eating when the sun go down. you can't eat.
Bitch, and I'm
Child,
on a diet, so it definitely ain't me.
Well, God bless you children who can eat at midnight.
Hello.
A bitch got to drink a protein shake or eat some yogurt, honey.
Eat your yogurt. That's exactly what I do every night.
All right. Let's see who else is on here because they did press one. Maybe they pressed it by accident. 614-813, you're on the air.
It was an accident.
Okay, sweetie. Press it again so you can get out of the host queue. And Bishop, you're on the air.
Hey, hey, little Jasmine. What's up, everybody? I like to,
Hi,
I
Bishop.
Like to, doing okay, man. Sitting back. I like to grace the panel and, you know, just chill and be calm and talk about the situation, about trust. Is that okay with you, Jazz?
Bishop, I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna leave you there. I'm gonna leave you there since you came on so nicely. But you already know that they're probably gonna attack you, so but it's okay. Let's see how you handle it. Did you watch American Horror Story, Bishop?
No, I didn't watch American Horror Story. I've been dealing with my dad. We had take him to the hospital. So we had to, matter of fact, pick him up from the hospital because of his leg was infected, and he's already working on one limb already.
I'm sorry. You sound
it's
like
okay.
You're emotional. You're emotional yourself.
Well, I mean, this is what I've been dealing with for now a couple of years, and I mean, I'm used to it, and, you know, I'm the only one that's taking care of my dad like that. So, you know, that's another issue with trust. I can't even trust his sister right now. And, you know, it's every time he gets sick, his sister, she doesn't call about nothing else, right? And I understand that, you know, that's her her brother, but it could be... my father, when he had got his leg cut off, my aunt had basically told my dad, "Are you gonna die? Are you gonna die? Because I need to know if you're gonna die. Because I want to know if I'm on the beneficiary." My aunt is very greedy and still hasn't learned her lesson from my grandmother's funeral way, way back in the 80s. But, you know, I have the power of attorney now over my dad. And, you know, she all of a sudden shows up. All of a sudden shows up when she gets a phone call that my dad is sick. I understand she's worried about him. But she hasn't called since the last time when my dad had got his leg amputated. Now she wants to call again. And the way she talks, is very ignorant. And, you know, I have to, you know, keep my distance, but then keep a distance. Like, phone calls, that's cool. But, you know, she's thinking that no one's taking care of him. My father has an aide that comes in here every day, especially when I'm looking for work. She comes in here every day to take care of him. And my aunt thinking something totally different. She's all the way in Staten Island, New York. And, you know, she's threatening about coming down here. and we ain't doing what we supposed to do. You know, it's just ridiculous. The trust issue, you know, I've seen in the past when I was young. I was very young, but I was very smart, and I saw what they did to my grandmother. So, you know, the trust issue.
So you really pretty much have a lot of experience when it comes to family.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I don't want you to kind of, you know, because, you know, you can get a little long-winded and stuff
I'm good. I'm listening.
I appreciate you getting, you know, sharing with us. But let's, you know, let's give everybody else a chance to kind of talk and stuff. But you are on here, and you do have the experience of, you know, the family issues. And I want to get everybody's opinion on, you know, the topic and, you know, take it from there. But stay right there. I'm not going to mute you, Bishop. Let me get to these callers again. 614-813, you're on the air. Okay, where did you go? See, like, why you hang up? Okay. All right, I'm not going to deal with private callers or anything right this second. All right, cool. So let's go back to the top. Dick and Vonna, Bishop, anyone else that want to tune in tonight, press 1, and we can, you know, talk about, you know, any issues that we're dealing with or facing. And again, you know, the floor is for you guys. So I give you guys the platform, but it's really for you to kind of like go with it. And at the request of different people, I create these topics. So if you guys have any topics or requests or anything like that, please send them right over. And I can also create a show for you. So always keep that in mind. I'm going to start off with Calvin in the order that they have pressed 1 and called in. And ask Calvin exactly, you know, what do you want to share as far as, you know, trust goes and any issues that you're facing when it comes to it?
Well, it's as simple as, you know, you think you find a friend. And I'm by far saying that I've been a perfect friend. But to this friend, I've been the best friend. And then, you know, you hear rumors and you hear things and, you know, my boyfriend is her best friend. And then when he gets around her, he acts, you know, a type of way. And, you know, at first it was, you know, he acted a type of way when he was around me. So she corrected him and now, you know, it's reversed. So I'm really at the point to where I don't give a fuck. And so with that being said, you know, tears that's been cried, tears that's going to be cried because I'm not done crying, but tears that's going to be cried, it's just going to go straight in the bucket and I'm going to pull them bitches down the toilet because I'm so tired.
Well, let me say this, sweetie. You can say you don't give a fuck, but if you're still crying, you do give a fuck. You'll know when you don't give a fuck anymore when you don't cry. And that's years of experience. So when you don't care no more, you will laugh at the things that people do. It will bounce off of you. You'll be angry at that moment when it happens. Of course. You'll be angry, but eventually, within time, it can be something that, anything, within time, you will see, your temperamental side of you, you will see that it doesn't affect you like it used to. Eventually, it will bounce off. It will just go. There won't be no more tears. There won't be no more frustration. There won't be no more anger. And that's something that you just have to always remember. So if you're still crying and you have a right to cry, no one's saying don't cry, because we've all cried. We all do stupid things. We all accept stupid things. We all have tolerated stupid things. But eventually you sit here and you say, why am I even letting this bother me? Why am I so pressed with this? It's just like the talk that I had with Tony earlier today, and the words that I said to him, he kept saying, but why? Because that's just how it is. It's always going to be that way. People are always going to do silly things and stupid things. People are always going to judge you, judge your actions, always hold those things against you. It's just going to happen, and people just have ways about themselves that you cannot control. You have to either accept it or you don't accept it. And that's how it is. It's really called growth, in all honesty. But yeah. Whatever you're going through, you have to realize and say to yourself, hey, I need to move forward. That's the most important thing. I need to move forward. These people that are, you know, that are affecting you, I don't know if who you're really talking about and stuff, but these people that are really affecting you, how well do they affect you? Like, you know, your health, your finances, your living condition and stuff. If they don't have no control over any of that, then, honey, it'll dwindle away. That's just what I have to say about it. But Dick, Vonna, what do you guys have to say?
I'm more on the lines of to air is human. I don't expect too much out of anything just breathing. You know, I always expect them to betray trust in some form or fashion. It's just human. It's human nature. For me, it's more on how long it takes for me to forgive. But I've learned over a period of time that you only trust certain people with certain things, and that goes for everybody. I think I read in the book, or I either seen in a movie or whatever, it says don't trust nobody but your mama, and you still got to cut the deck. So, you know, I guess that speaks for itself. I really, you know, I just don't trust people like that. I don't.
Lana?
She can't.
Yeah, it's funny. I have trust in people. I give trust. I'm just, maybe I'm like a, I guess a blind optimist or something, but I give trust until you do something to take it away, because I try not to treat everybody the same. I can see through the bullshit. I can see through lies. And I am, for the most part, a forgiving person, because everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I'm not. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily have to go around with a heart of distrust. I just rather not live my own personal life that way. I feel if I can't trust you, or if I can't have you in my confidence, then you shouldn't be in my circle. You know, just because I say hi to you, or we might key at a ball or something like that, or key at a club, that doesn't mean that I trust you or that we're friends. That means we're just associates. You know, but once I, you know, go to the, you know, the titles of sisters and, you know, friends and stuff like that, then it's a level of trust that I do have for you, because I just don't feel that it's healthy to go around with a state of distrust for people.
I understand that, and I understand everything that, you know, you and Dick have said. To me, it's just, you know, when I, like you said, it's forgiving. I have forgave people over and over for numerous things. And, you know, that's just who I am. I'm a soft-hearted, kind. But when you bestow something, first of all, you said that we have a friendship, then it's a friendship. You know, mm-hmm. If I fuck with you, then I fuck with you. But if you my friend, then you my friend. You
right.
may... Godfather of your child.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, out your fucking mouth, out the side of your lips, which you probably didn't even mean to say. I said, well, you know, if you don't want me to be godfather, you could, I don't have to be. She said, oh, well, you know, I just don't want Lila to be treated any differently than your other goddaughter, because, you know, I just don't want to. So what you're saying, bitch, is if I would treat her the same than Zaza, I won't be the godfather in the first place.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why
But let me say this. I don't look at that as, and maybe I'm just confused, or maybe I just, like, at a blind moment, but I just don't take that as, like, trust. This seems like, you know, friendship issues, things that have happened, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that's something that happened. That doesn't necessarily, to me, sound like a distrust of you or her. That's just sound like kind of a petty move because y'all are into it.
Well,
versus
that's true,
the fact of
not
trusting.
Just,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I understand that. I just don't want to dig deeper. Trust me.
No, I'm talking. Well, her, it just seems petty. You know what I'm saying? Not the fact that she doesn't trust you. It's just we're into it. So I'm being petty and I'm being cute by saying that, you know, putting this child involved, not necessarily the fact that it's a trust issue involved. I'm just being petty. You know what I'm saying?
Do we give out the word friend too loosely? I mean, everybody says friend. I think we give that word out too. I mean, we just give it away for free.
I think we should take trust, the word trust, in moderation, and then on top of that, use the word trust when, you know, because some of us have been through so many things with another person that we put that heat of not trusting another person that we really, really want to care about, but it's holding them back from, you know, getting to know us. And, you know, like I said, I think we should take it in moderation. We should, like, basically go ahead on and, you know, take certain risk, but take it in moderation. Take a risk in moderation. Not a trust risk, but using and or test, not testing, but using, like, using our mind to basically say, okay, let's do this. Okay, I can trust him, I believe that he'll do the right thing, or I believe she'll do the right thing. So let's try this out. If it doesn't work there, then you can go back into your corner and think about it later. But I think it should be taken in moderation. Trust should be taken in moderation.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And no, I don't take the word friend and just throw it around. You know, I know half the bitches that, you know, I fuck with, I call associates, and they know this. They know that I fuck with them. I treat them with a long-handled spoon, but that's it. When I call you my friend or my best friend, like, that is a bond, especially best friend. Like, I have two best friends in the entire world, one of 16 years and one of 11. And my friends, I have known for at least 4 or 5 years. I don't just be like, oh, bitch, I just met you. You my friend. No. I don't know.
Bonner, they're reading you about your sound effects, girl.
I keep pushing you, and I'm definitely sorry. Please don't read me. I'm sorry. Please. I don't have time. I don't have the strength to be read today. Please don't. I'm going to push mute. I promise.
Okay. All right. So when we sit here and we talk about these, you know, these factors of trust, I want callers to press 1. You know, there's callers out there. Also, inbox me or in the chat room, say something. Y'all don't all have to low ride, honey. Y'all can say something about, you know, when it comes to trust and issues that you are facing. I will say this. I agree with everything. Oh, happy birthday to Didi Chanel. That just popped up. Happy birthday to the overall mother, the lovely
Didi.
Happy birthday, When we sit here and we say these words like trust and friends and things of that sort, I do happen to agree with what Vonna said. You know, you can't walk around and close your door on everybody. And that's actually something that I was dealing with when I got, you know, I spoke to this young lady who actually moved here, you know, to Florida. And I had to sit down and, you know, say to myself, do I want to get involved with someone and or do I not? Because of the fact that you have gone through so many experiences in your life where you feel like you've either been taken advantage of, taken for granted, or things of that sort. But I have, because it's in my heart and it's in my nature that I can't just look at someone and just, you know, not befriend them because of somebody else's ignorance or anything like that. I couldn't do that, you know. And you never know what this person can do for you. You never know. You just, all you can do is leave it in God's hands. I know that the way I live my life right now and the way I have lived my life for the past many, many years is I'm more antisocial when it comes to my real life. I don't like to have people over my house. I don't like to socialize and mingle unless it's with, you know, family that may be coming into town or my close, you know, close people. But I just don't really like to socialize and stuff because it seems like a lot of people befriend you, especially a person in my position, they befriend you for the wrong reasons. I face that, you know, when you have the title, the money, the power, all that stuff that I've had, you know, in my life, which I don't look at as much. I just look at it as God has blessed me in whatever ways he has, and he can bless you too. But you have people that clamp to you for the wrong reasons. And sometimes I had to say to myself, you know, like, oh, my God, it's always this one. It's always that one. I just don't want to be around nobody. But then eventually you kind of get lonely. You know, you want to have that, you know, that one person. You know, that hence the reason why I don't have any gay children, because, you know, I just can't deal with it. And I look at somebody like my sister, you know, I look at Kelly and the fact that how she has so many gay children, but when she was in her predicament, where were they, the majority of them? You know, she only had a handful. I believe that when you go through certain experiences in life, you will learn who your real people are, friends, family, associates, gay children, gay parents, or whatever. You will learn who they are. So I'm looking at these people, and I hear an echo, so somebody must be, again, on speaker or something. But, you know, I can't personally do that, especially when I see somebody who's growing, you know, and somebody who's doing something positive with themselves. There's not many people that I socialize with. You know, there's not many people that I speak to on a regular basis. You know, I can name a few, you know, that I talk to. Kelly, Jason, these are people in my life that I have, you know, I communicate with, that I allow in to my life. You know, and even with us, sometimes we go through what we go through. It doesn't change how we feel. That's when you can see how close you are with someone, because, and that's how you can also see the relationship you have with someone, is when the times get rough, or when something goes down, where will they really, really be there for you? Or how will it go? If you're true, you know, if they are a true person, then you guys will be able to settle your differences. If they're not a true person, I guess that's where the test comes in. You'll see them run and scatter like roaches, you know, in the kitchen when the lights come on or something. So those are the things that you have to deal with. Sometimes I believe that God places these things in front of you for anyone that's facing this to maybe test you and see exactly how true these people are. It doesn't change how I feel because I never turn my back on them or anything like that. I love Kelly. I love Jason. I love everyone that's a part of my life that has been there for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not God. I'm not made of stone. I'm not made of gold. I go through things as well. Even Vonna, even though Vonna has, you know, she's been taking care of a lot of her personal things lately and things of that sort. But Vonna knows, me and Vonna used to have long talks. She knows that Jasmine sometimes is fragile as well. You know, so these are the people that play important roles in your life. And the good thing about it is, even when there is that distance of time, you know that you can pick up that phone and call them, and they're still there. You can, like Dick said, you only can give people but so much as well. That's how I feel about it. There's a very small group of people that are a part of my life. Very small group of people.
I think we have so many resentments against each other to the point where we can't trust each other, or we can't basically come to an announcement with each other. I think that we should always work on that resentment that we have between that person that's keeping us from trusting another person. Like I told you guys, you use trust in moderation, and you you know, I think
but,
it starts
but the,
with...
The problem with that, Vonna...
Yeah, I'm here.
Your phone. The problem with that is eventually, especially the older that we get, eventually we become, we don't want to tolerate it no more. I'll give you an example. In my life, and it has nothing to do with trust, but in my life, I've lost many family members back to back. So, and these are close family members. These are my mother, my grandmother, my uncles, people that I actually lived with day to day, not separate. We all lived in the same house, you know, and you're losing them and losing them and losing them to at a point your body shuts down, your mind shuts down, your heart just cages itself up, and you just say, I don't want to get close with nobody ever again. I'm tired of getting close with people because I'm tired of losing them. And that's why people start to shut down and nothing affects them. Me and Kelly have had this talk many times. Kelly was so close with her grandmother, and after losing her grandmother, it doesn't affect me anymore. And I felt the same way about, like, my mom. After I lost my mom, it was like, it just doesn't affect me anymore. You know, I don't want to go to a funeral. I just don't want to be bothered with it. I've buried too many people. I've attended too many funerals. I'm done. I just don't want to bother.
You know, Jasmine, you hit a good point. That was a hit, because it's, when we lose people, especially people that we probably had a resentment against, but we trusted them and they trusted us from a certain point, when we lose them, that's all she wrote. You know, it's like the fat lady sung, and like, damn, you know, God damn, I wish we could have healed our relationship when you were living. You hit a good point, and you're right. When you lose somebody, it's like you just let go. I understand that.
Do let go, and it's the same thing with trust. You get so tired of going through the same thing, and sometimes it's so, and you know, even with relationships now, we can even compare them to relationships, and I'm about to come to you, 347-569, and I'm sorry if I don't know your number. It looks familiar, but then, you know, I just don't be knowing. I deal with numbers all the time. But it's even with relationships, like you had your trend of bad relationships, and this person turned to you, this person cheated on you, this person did you dirty, and now you're in a whole new relationship, and it's like, child, I don't think I can give my all in all in this relationship because I'm bound to get turned. But the sad part about it is that maybe the person that you're with right now, the one person that is there that you will not let your guard down with, or the one that you keep saying or treating differently, may be the right one. Also, the friend that may be befriending you right now, or the person that's reaching out, just saying hi and kicking it with you, they may be a very good person, but because you have been wounded by so many other people, that it's like it's so hard to deal with. Like, do I allow this person in? Do I befriend this person? Do I let my guard down and love this person? Or should I stay the way I am because I'm bound to get hurt again? And sometimes it's not fair, but sometimes you just get so tired of going through it, you just don't know what to do. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, and I wanted to get everybody else's opinion on it, because I know that we all are facing it, me, you, everyone on this show, everyone that's on this panel, and all the people that are listening. No one is excluded. You all are facing it. Someone in your life is affecting you. And how are you dealing with it? Go ahead.
Hello?
Oh, I'll say this. People don't understand something. You know, in some cases, I'm not going to say in all cases, but in some cases, people expect you to be able to trust you regardless of the fact. But when you look back at your history with the person or whatever, you have not been the most trustworthiest person yourself to that friend. You have not. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that friend may have not severed that relationship, but that trust that you expect that person to have for you is not there anymore. So when that person does something that you feel like was untrustworthy or whatever the case it is, you can't understand why, but you need to look back in history and say, well, what did I do to this person to deserve such things?
You know what?
Okay. How do you just trust somebody? Like, I know with Eddie right now, like, I have a major trust issue because I know how it's been in the past. I know for a fact that either the niggas I fucked with before was sex or for what I could do for them. There was one person I could say that was truly in my life for love, but it ended up being totally wrong. We ended up being best friends instead of lovers. How, like, right now, I'm so scared.
This is the thing. When you meet someone, there's a balance there. And you have to go into every relationship with a certain amount of everything. You don't put all cards on the table from the get-go. You learn as you go on what the mechanics of your relationship with each person is going to be. Because if you put your cards on the table with every person that you meet, this is the way you're going to feel every time.
I understand that. I'm sorry, Dick, but I understand that. I did not put my cards on the table. It's just the fact that, okay, you have to understand where I'm coming from. We all know I have a weight issue, so that's the number one factor right there. Eddie mm-hmm. is a small boy. Like, I'm like, why would somebody like him want somebody like me?
Then that's something you have to go through, Calvin. You have to say to yourself, that's a demon that I've had in my past, but I've learned to control that demon, and that's a demon that I can't put upon others. You can't allow that demon to work on your relationship with someone else. If that person has shown you that they are there for you, irregardless and in spite of, then you have to allow that person to be there, irregardless and in spite of. Because if you keep putting that in the midst of everything, then it becomes a portion of everything.
Let me interject to this just a little bit, real quick, because I keep putting my phone on mute because I don't want to be rude. But let me interject on what you just said. It's like, it's a because secret. It's the same thing I told my husband. What you put out, if you put positivity out, you get positivity back. You put negativity out, you get negativity back. Me being a transgender girl who only dates, quote-unquote, butch queens or faggots or whatever the case, whatever people want to call them, I used to go through those same insecurities in the beginning. Do you want me because I'm a Maya and I judge a lot of balls and I'm a mother of a house and you're trying to get in my house or you're trying to get my vote or are you trying to get money because you know what I do on the side? Like, what is the plan? I always had a repercussion of what I thought people were dating me for. So I went into those relationships with preconceived notions and they always failed, because I was never going into them with a pure heart or a pure understanding. Now that I am in a relationship, now that it's healthy, you know, we live together, you know, I made a promise to myself in going into this relationship with him that I would not treat him the same or have the same ideologies that I had before. And it made it a lot better because I went into it with a different understanding, not saying that we don't have regular relationship problems or anything, but I don't have the same insecurities anymore. I don't have the same troubles anymore, so our relationship was able to flourish because of that.
And you know what? I'm going to add to that. Something I'm dealing with, Kevin, man, I'm dealing with self-trust. Can we talk about self-trust for a minute? Because if you don't trust yourself to make a decision, then you will make the most bad decision. Self-trust can be a negative and positive. When you talk about self-trust, like, say, for example, me and you was dating, but, you know, I had trust issues about you, but I wanted to try it and be shady to you because I didn't trust you, and that's when self-trust comes in. Self-trust can be negative and positive because when you're negative to yourself, not letting yourself know that, okay, I'm going to be shady to this person. I'm going to be shady because I don't trust myself. That's what, you know, I go through from time to time, and, you know, I'm working on it. You know, I believe that you should, you know, honestly work on self-trust also. You know, self-trust is the most powerful motivator for anything or any person you're trying to trust.
But I walked into this saying the exact same thing you said, Vonna. I said, you know, well, you know, Calvin, you know you got trust issues. And we're not going to let them get in the way. I'm not trying to put too much of my business on these airways, but in the very beginning, I let it go. I let a shitload of shit go that I knew my heart, my stomach told me something was the fuck wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally brought that to the table.
Mm-hmm.
We had our argument. We had our disagreement. We got that shit taken care of. But
mm-hmm.
because of that, that happened in the beginning, and I tried to let it go, now my stomach is just churning. My heart is like, Calvin, do you trust him? Like, because I do.
I'm going to tell you what you did, Calvin. And this is something my mother used to say a long time ago. And if you're old, you know, your mother gives you a little, some type of, you know, analogies back in the day. You know, you moved out of one raggedy house, and you took all the baggage and all the roaches and stuff, and you said, hey, I'm going to go buy this new house. But you took all the same old bullshit from your old house into your new house.
Let me get to this caller. 347-569, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian Versace.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, everybody. I have two scenarios that's going on with me, and I'm kind of feeling like how Jazz and Kelly, I was just listening, and it's funny that I tuned into the show. But what's going on with me is that I have my mother. I'm putting some of my dirty laundry back, you know, out. I was adopted at the age of 3. My adoptive parents, we was raising up, and I'm pretty sure people can identify. I was raised up in holiness. So make a long story short, you know, I was always, you're going to hell about being gay or this and that, being homosexual. But, you know, I moved on, whatever. And I've always felt like my parents played me against my other adoptive brother. Now, I had my mom is suffering with a brain tumor that has shut the right side of her body down. I've been away from Atlanta for 8 years, you know, with dealing, you know, with the whole HIV thing, making away from myself. Now, I talked to my sister this morning, and I said that, you know, just putting it out there, and I was just playing. And I'm not going to lie, I was being a little shady. But make a long story short, I said, you know, sister, I don't have enough money, whatever this is and that. Can y'all help me? You know, because I've been dealing with I have anxiety problems. I don't fly. So make a long story short, she was like, oh, you doing this and you doing that. You work with celebrities, da 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 da. But how you not know? I live in New York, darling. You know what I'm saying? How you don't know it costs whatever. But anyway, so she texts me this evening and says, well, you don't worry about coming to. Don't worry about coming to Thanksgiving because two of my girlfriends, her sorority sisters, said that they're going to be over there for Thanksgiving. So don't you and Javon, my husband, don't worry about coming. So I call her back. We get into a big heated argument. Make a long story short. Then I get a call from my dad, and we started talking. And I, you know, I just went in on him a little bit, and he was like, "Well, what you want me to do? I don't accept your lifestyle. You don't even respect." Then he came up to a statement and gave me very much, "You don't even respect yourself." I said, "Respect myself. What are you talking about?" So I said, you know what, I got heated, and I said some things, and I said, you know what, I just feel like not even being bothered with none of you guys. I want to divorce the family. I don't even want my last name. I wish sometimes.
Can I say something? You said you went in on your father, right?
Slightly, yes, I did.
That transfer of emotion made your father say that. Your father don't mean that.
I know he don't, but at the same time, you know, I know he don't. And then another issue, I have a That's one issue I'm dealing with. And then the second issue I'm dealing with is that I have a friend that has visited me twice, and they live in Atlanta. They're dealing with full-blown AIDS and rectal cancer. You know, we severed our relationship over 20 years. I've been knowing this child since she was 13. And now I wrote a post. I didn't write a post, but I posted a picture. It says, rest in peace to everyone who has fucked me, played me, turned me, or lied to me, because you're all dead to me. Rest in peace. I posted that. Was I wrong for that? I mean, because it's like, that post to me at the time, and I'm not going to lie, it gave me closure, because sometimes you have to close a chapter, I feel, to begin a chapter. You know, and
I gotta cut you guys off, because sometimes you guys can get a little long-winded when you're passionate about it. No, you're not wrong for making that post, because that's how you felt. The only time you're wrong is if you still go back to doing it. See, people have a tendency of lashing out, doing certain things, getting mad, cutting everybody off, changing their phone number or cutting their phone off, deactivating their Facebook, all this stuff. They're angry at that moment, and they're saying all this stuff. That's just nothing but a temper tantrum if you come back to doing it. The bottom line is, stick to it. If you're cutting all these people off and they are dead to you, then let them be dead to you. And maybe you didn't have to use those words that they're dead to you, but no, you have to be serious and say they are dead to you. Like me, personally, when I get fed up, when I cut you off, you're cut off. You don't exist to me anymore. You don't, you just don't, and I can hurt you by just letting you know you don't exist. What you do does not affect me. That's what you all have to do. I have to take another caller. But that's what people have to learn how to do. Even in your situation, Calvin, in your situation, Bishop, and in your situation, Brian, if these people are doing these things to you, you don't have to say, I'm going to just divorce this family, or, I don't know how to handle this or whatever. If people want to act the way that they act, allow them to act the way that they act.
But you know what, Jasmine?
And don't let it affect you.
Jasmine. You know, I understand what you're saying. You know, now I'm developing the trait, silence is power. Silence is power.
That's the most important thing, and that you're 100% right. A lot of people are reading that you're on the air now. A lot of people don't want to hear you, and that's another thing. That's what you guys got to remember. I don't know what it is about everybody. People, again, they just don't have – it's trust issues. They just don't want to feel it. They don't want to hear it. It's because you got to remember your actions – are always memorable, even like with Tony and everything. It's like people don't want to let go of certain actions that people don't, people have done in the past. You know, a lot of people don't like Dick for whatever the reasons is. People feel this way about this one, that one, da 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 da. They feel the way about me. But the bottom line is, you have to realize that your actions are going to always have people feeling a certain way. Be silent. Sometimes silence is the key. Be silent. You don't have to allow these people to affect you. I get into arguments. I've gotten into arguments with my grandmother. I got into arguments with this one and that one. Eventually, I'm like, what? What am I arguing for? I can't sit here and try to prove my life to you or keep answering or looking for validation from you, because at the end of the evening, I'm the one who has to take care of myself. If you're not on my team, that's what everybody that's listening needs to remember this. If they're not on your team, I don't give a fuck who they are. If they're not on your team, then they don't have a place in your life. And that is the truth. And that comes from experience. That comes from experience. Because the only person that should be validating you in your life right now is get up and go look in the mirror, is you. Sometimes we are our worst enemy. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to grow. Sometimes we hold the burden of so many issues in the past that we don't allow ourselves to move forward. And I don't care about weight, Calvin, because I'm a big girl myself. I don't allow that to stop me from moving forward. I don't allow the fact that I'm a transgender, Vanna. I don't allow the fact of my past. I don't allow the fact of anything to hold me down. And for those people who are on my team, I then am on your team. One hand washes the other. We support each other. That's the only way you can move forward. That's the only way you can move forward. We have a couple of callers.
I guess it takes time, Jazzy. I mean, no shade.
It's definitely not going to happen overnight. I can tell you that right now. Thank you, Ryan. It's not going to happen overnight. And me saying this, it's probably going in one ear and out the other because y'all probably saying, oh, child.
Hold on, Jasmine. You know
Bishop,
what?
I'm sorry.
I always wanted a validation, and I always wanted to explain myself, and I ain't never need to.
Yeah, I mean it's steps. It really is steps. It's not something that you say that can be done overnight. And what you just said didn't go through one ear and out the other. I understand what you're saying because. Even though I'm still dealing with some issues with my weight, a lot of my weight issues are let go. Like, I don't give up. But when it comes to somebody that's close to me and I feel that it's affecting somebody close to me, then I start getting a little. But I don't think it. I'm just so, like, just right now. Like, my mind is gone. So, yeah.
Okay. 347-889, you're on the air.
Hey, Jazzy, everybody. Sakina.
Hey, Sakina, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to say that this is a really good topic. It's probably making, hopefully, a lot of people think about a few things. I wanted to bring up something that I don't think was mentioned yet. We talk about the common issues with trust. You know, how do you just trust somebody? First of all, you don't just trust anybody. You should know that trust is supposed to be earned. And that's what makes it so tricky because you don't know when someone has done things that, you know, they're valid to say, you know, well, this is someone I could trust. You don't know how many actions are enough, you know, what time frame is enough. And we just have so many issues with us being in the gay community, you know, with trust. You know, some of us, unfortunately, we had problems with our family. You know, like the caller now, you know, he's still having some slight issues of acceptance with his family, you know, and we go through that. So a lot of our trust issues start long before we even had a real relationship, you know what I'm saying? So we're kind of like really bad with this trust thing. And the bad thing about it is, like, have you ever heard anybody ask, like, why do girls always read so much? Why do girls always so bitter, you know? I always look at it from another point and another view, and I say, that's because they're hurt. And that's how I really feel. And I know that some people are probably going to read, but I think that, you know, unconsciously some of us, unfortunately, we make ourselves cold to a lot of things, you know. It's okay if you know that you have these issues, you know, trust issues, or Calvin, you say sometimes you have issues with your weight. I think when you're aware of issues and you can still can, I think it's a whole lot better than just being numb. You understand what I'm saying? Like, some people, they close everybody off, cut everybody off, I don't care, I don't feel, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's dangerous because we get comfortable and, like, how do you come out of that?
I feel you. That's something that, you know, I think you're hitting it right on the nose when you say that, you know, we go through so much in our lives that we walk into this with these issues, and how do we come out of it? That's my question. You know, how do we come out of this? How do you move forward? You know, like, what do you do? I think the biggest thing, like, with these shows and stuff is when you hear other people's issues and stuff, you can actually compare yourself or compare your life or something, and you can maybe learn from it. But how do you deal with it? You know, how, when you know, you got one person on here that's talking about friends, family, lovers, things of that sort. How do you move forward from it? You know, what do you do? Or are you one of those people that keep running into the brick wall where you find yourself always depressed because, you know, you allow it to get to you where you're just, you know, you can't move forward. It just ruins your day. It ruins your mood. You're sitting there and you're playing sad love songs and you're crying every moment or whatever, or you're hating the family and you're disowning your family, or, you know, you just don't want to be bothered with nobody. I mean, what do you do? Like, what is your opinion on it?
Well, when it comes to that, I want to give something. Whatever, and this doesn't just pertain to everybody, but this situation in itself in the ballroom scene or in the gay community, period, we have different friends. We have different friends. And that may say, Jasmine, you may be friends with Susan, and you also may be friends with Kathy, but you and Susan's relationship is totally different from you and Kathy's relationship.
Hold on, Dick. I'm sorry. Hold on, Dick. Miss Lick a T split in the chat room. Say good night for the night, because you bitches have always something to say negative. But just like we have people on this line right now that it's affecting, you have something negative to say. You're probably some dying ass queen that's depressed looking for an outlet. And that's why you're sitting there complaining and stuff, because you're looking for some type of hilarious moment, because you know when the show is over with, you have to look in the mirror and realize that you're still dying and fucking depressed. So, shut the fuck up and stay the fuck off the show.
CEO, and founder of this motherfucking show.
Oh,
there is no health read on this show. You already know that.
She went in, bitch. I mean, she went in.
There's no health read. I had to get up out of my bed. I was sitting here listening. I was sitting here listening to y'all, honey. I was not I was on hold, honey, and I was not going to say anything. I'm sitting here with my friend, and I had to just come in and stop that. We don't do health read, sister. You already know that. We cannot break our own rules.
I have never heard her be that nasty with her mouth like that. I mean, that was vicious.
The queen in the chat room. The queen
is
just ratchet in the chat room, honey. And I'm tired of y'all keep saying y'all gonna take callers, and I've been on hold for so long waiting to come on, so I had to jump out of my bed in my birthday suit and go and break through.
I'll be honest, I think that by Jasmine reading like that, I think that child should get a free pass. You read that fact to Deer Hill.
It's not about reading. It's about being fed up. It was just my point. I just had to make a point, you know? But it's no shade.
You said what was on your mind.
That's what's happening, you
but
know?
I just want to say hello to everybody that's on the show.
What's up,
I want to say hello to all the co-hosts that's sitting here with my sister tonight. I want to say hello to everybody that's in the chat room. And I want to give a big shout-out to everybody that's on the phone line. And a special shout-out to Sandy and Shonda that's listening to the show. How y'all doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Sandy. Hey, Shonda.
Hey. What's up, Kelly?
Kelly, well, trust issues. How you deal with your trust issues?
Baby, listen. Let me tell you something. I don't trust a motherfucker as far as I can motherfucking throw the bitch, okay? Baby, y'all already see what the fuck I went through, honey, baby. Please. You don't trust nobody, bitch, honey, okay? Please.
But I think that in this community or whatever, we have different friendships. And like I was saying, if we have different friendships with different people or whatever, it kind of coincides with one another or whatever. Like, you know, me and one friend may get on the phone and kiki about all the latest gossip, and me and the other friend may get on the phone and talk about personal business or whatever. But because I think this person is my friend, I may leak something by mistake or whatever, not thinking that it would get out, but then it just, like, it's an ongoing situation. And I think in this community or whatever, we don't realize that people have other friends that they're close to or whatever the case it is. So things tend to get misconstrued or out the way you wouldn't want them put out or whatever the case it is. I mean, that's just one issue or whatever that I have with trust or whatever. But when it comes to trust or whatever, I really do believe that you cannot trust everybody with everything. Some things are meant to be kept to self and handled by self.
Do you know how we used to play the message game? I don't know if you all played the message game, but the message game was considering us, you know, whispering this in each other's ear, and it would be like eight people playing, and that last person would have to say what everybody was saying, the same thing that first person was saying. That's
it's
the
add
key.
On to the story. You're supposed to add on to that story, though, but go ahead.
Help me out with the story. Let me shoot. But like I said, that was the key with the message game, because it'll be some type of person now these days playing the message game in real life. It's people that want to just be shady for nothing, remember exactly what the person was saying, and then switches it up just to make it so exciting that it caused drama.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still here, Sakina.
All right, excuse me, Bishop. I'm going to ask a question. Why is it okay for us to really talk about somebody dying? I'm serious, too. No disrespect. Why is that okay? Because every time I hear it, including when you just did it, I hate that.
But you know what? But the sad part about it, Sakina.
One second. If anybody in our community has never seen one of our associates or, God forbid, somebody that we care about dying from AIDS, they're lucky. Why do we say that like it's okay?
But
I
think
no,
that
it's not
people
okay.
Let me say something.
Let me say it because I'm the one who said it. And let me say something. Sakina, you're 100% right. It's not right to say it. It's not right to say it and throw it out there and throw it in people's face. But let's be realistic about it. And I'm speaking the truth about this because I know this for a fact for many people. And this can get much, much deeper. I lost damn near my whole family to this virus. So I speak from much more experience about this. But let's be realistic about it. And it's no bullshit, and I say it calmly. I don't say it to be facetious. I don't say it to be mean. It's true. And that's what's wrong with this community, Sakina, and everybody else that's listening. There are a lot of people in this community that this is why we hate so much on each other, that they are so angry with themselves because of what they are going through in their life, that they take it out on the next person to destroy the next person because they did something that is destroying themselves. And because they are so unhappy with themselves because of what they did, they are now trying to take it out on the next person. That is not false. That is not fake. That it's not true. There are many people, just like these people go out there and sleep with other people because you got me sick, so now I'm going to get everybody else sick, or because they're so angry that they are broke, that they don't have money, that they're living the way that they live. They just hate on the next person. Why are there so many people out there that are doing positive things with their lives, videos, movies, TV shows, everything, concerts, and everybody hates on them? Why? Because this person has elevated in their life, but you haven't. Because
you know what?
You haven't done it. You hate on the next person. That is why it's speaking realistically. And it may sound so mean when it's being said, in all honesty, like you're dying, you dying motherfucker. But realistically, that's what's really happening to you. That is what you're doing. Because you're so angry.
So throwing it in their face, like, what does that do, though?
But why is it so scary for everybody to face the fact that we're dying? You are born to die. So just because it's because of one disease doesn't mean that it's no better than heart disease or high blood pressure or diabetes or whatever the case. You're born to die. Face it. Stop being scared of it and embrace it. You are born to die. You can see this earth one way or another.
Well,
I didn't see it as a read.
I don't think Jasmine. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I could see if Jasmine was saying, you know, you AIDS-infected faggot guy, but in reality, she just said, you're dying. So it was not a health read. In reality, you're so miserable.
Exactly.
You're so miserable with yourself that you are just destroying yourself. So before you destroy yourself, you're trying to take everybody down
with your negative
life. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not saying that you have AIDS and your T cells are done. I'm not saying that. I watched my mother fucking die over this shit. I'm not saying that. I have close friends of mine who are still dealing with this issue. I'm just saying basically your negative energy, that's not life. That's death. When you sit here and you wake up angry at the world, you don't want to live. You don't want to be happy. You don't want to smile. You don't want to live life. You just want to be angry and bitter and you're just nothing. You're just dwindling. And that's where that comes from with me. Take it. You know, that's just how I am.
That's when the trust issue comes in with yourself. Trusting yourself to know what you're going to say, and I'm working on that 100% with myself. I thank you, Jasmine, for having me on, and I thank you for keeping me on. But the trust issue coming from out my mouth of what I'm going to say, I have to trust my instinct, yes. And the thing is, on top of that, be humble and pray on, you know, what comes out your mouth, because it can hurt someone else and it can affect someone else. Don't get me and put me on the shit that you're going through. I understand what you were saying.
And
let me
one
get
thing
to another
that I
want caller.
To say to the person who was out there and who she was addressing, just remember, if you took that any type of way and you feel bad about yourself, and that goes to anybody, every cause has an effect.
Did you say every cough?
No. Every cause has an
cause.
Effect.
Oh. 404-536.
Hey, y'all, it's Marcus.
Hi,
Marcus.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey, I'm sorry. I just called in. I was listening to what Jasmine was saying, like, 3 minutes ago, and I was just talking to somebody about this. I don't know how a lot of people were raised, but my mother always raised me that no matter how smart, Marcus, you are, or how intelligent, no matter how good you are at something, there's always going to be somebody out there better than you. And some people don't, parents never raised them that way. They always taught them that they were the best and that they would deserve the best. And to me, that makes people envious of others. So when they see other people doing well, they're like, well, that should be me because I'm the best. You know, you were taught from the beginning. And I guess I just don't say people can't be happy for other people when good things happen to them. You know what I mean? Like, how can you envy somebody's life and you really don't know what they're going through? You really don't know what they're going through for that success or how much, you know, more money, more problems or whatever. So my question is, well, how were you guys raised? Did your family raise you that you were the best and, you know, no one could beat you? Or were you raised that no matter how smart you are, somebody out there is better than you?
Start at the top and work your way down because everybody talks over everybody. Marcus has a question. And Calvin, how were you raised?
Well, I would have to say, Marcus, that I was raised a little bit of both. You know, I believe that a little bit of, I wouldn't call it envy, but a little bit of I want what you got should be in your system, because that will make you work that much more harder to get to where you need to be at. Now, on the other hand, I was also raised that don't you let anyone, and I don't give a fuck if it's my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, don't let anyone let you think that you're less than. No, you're not better than anyone, but at the same time, you deserve the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
true.
Dick?
I was raised to really believe that anything that I wanted in life was there for the taking. You know, you just had to get out there and work hard for whatever it is that you wanted. I was never raised to feel like I was better than anybody. My grandmother is a very humble person and has raised me to be so as well. I'm not going to say that I always put that rule into effect, but that's the way I was raised.
Okay. Bishop?
I never won anything. And, I mean, I've won things, but that was in childhood. I never ever, when I got to my teenhood, won anything. I was always teased. I was always talked about. And, you know, I'm like, dang, you know. But now that, you know, I'm starting to, you know, discover myself, I mean, I'm starting to get humble and look at what I'm doing for any of my accomplishments or any of my dreams to happen.
Okay. Sakina?
Well, I was raised, you know, by my mother, my father, and my grandparents, and so were my other two siblings. And it kind of hit home for me what Marcus had just said, because I really don't think that has to do too much with your upbringing, because we were all raised together, you know, by our parents and grandparents, and I have a sibling that all she does is compare what she has to someone else. I never, ever understood it. I think it's just in that individual, the type of person that you are, because our parents can raise us, but I know a lot of us, you know, do things that we were taught when we were raised. Like, you understand what I'm saying, as far as your religion or, you know, little things, big things. Like, we get older and we get our own way. Plain and simple as that. I just think that some people, just that's stupid, though. It really, really is, Marcus, because if your father taught you that from a kid, that there's always going to be somebody smarter than you, there's always going to be somebody, in your opinion, that looks better than you or whatever. It's always, you could get $1 billion, become a billionaire, somebody else has more money than you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, to me, that's an endless battle. That's just ignorant and stupid. I don't care
mm-hmm.
about what anyone else has. I only worry about what I have. You know,
exactly.
And I was
mm-hmm.
raised to have my own. So that's what I've always done.
Well, I get what you're saying, but I think what it was with my mom, it was to avoid anything like that. Because you got to remember, okay, I kind of grew up in the 90s, so, like, at that particular point, you know, you had to have, I mean, our family went out and, you know, bought all these clothes, you know, different fads, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike shoes. And at this point, it's not like how it is today. So at this particular point, my mother wanted you to realize, okay, we work hard for everything we give you, you know this. You have to realize some people are gonna always have more than you. You know, I had you know, an older brother and a younger sister. It was three of us in college at one point. I mean, that is a struggle. No matter how smart you are, young man, there's gonna be somebody out there that's a little smarter than you. And it kind of pushed me to be well, but realize that. How do I understand? Like, you have to fall at a place in order. My brother raises his kids that they're princes and princes. Everything is not going to go your way every time. You know what I mean? That,
mm-hmm.
To me, that teaches you to be selfish and spoiled, and you're going to always, no, that doesn't happen every time. You're not going to always get your way. You're going to have to learn how to compromise. So I think that really, it kind of, you know, at least in my situation with my family, it was enough for me to realize I want to be great, but I realized that if I don't become a millionaire, as long as if I'm happy, as long as I have some food, I have a place to live, and I'm satisfied and I'm content and I can have everything that I really need, all those other things are just extra.
And I
People just envy people over money and, you know, fame. I've never wanted to be famous. That's the shade.
And, you know, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, there has to be, you also have to know that you deserve better. Like my, my sister raises my niece where she's like, you know, you are queen. You know, you deserve better. You're not going to always get what you want. You know, she punishes her, she chastises her, but at the same time, and she needs to know that at the same time, you are what you're going to be.
Is Jake or Calvin?
Calvin.
Calvin, I'm sorry. But I got the numbers with it. I never had a real hard life, too. Like, I ain't never had to worry about no light being cut off or no eviction notices on the door, nothing like that. So, I mean, some people might have had those experiences with their parents where they had to struggle a little harder. I pretty much had a, you know what I mean? I always had Christmas gifts. Didn't crack out all year, really. My family even taught us, if you don't get something on Christmas, bitch, we buy you all year.
Mark. Uh-huh.
Hold on a second, Bishop. Y'all not giving everybody a chance to talk. Okay. Vonna.
I want to make sure I was off mute. I was raised by my mother and my father. They taught me different. My mom had a big thing. I was raised around the same era as Marcus. So my mom had a big thing about being better. And so I don't think it was a grandiose idea, but it was the fact that you have to be three times better because you're competing against everybody else. So
yeah.
You want to strive to be the best. You want to push to be the best, and you are the best. You know, and if sometimes if you fall, it doesn't mean that you're still not better. It just means that you made a mistake and you dust yourself off and you keep it moving, and you keep pushing to be better. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean that you're less than because you made a mistake. But you are the best. Like my mom, I went to a white college, you know what I'm saying? So she's like, you know, you are, of course, you know, I'm transgender. So at the time I went to school, I was, you know, my other life. So she's like, you know, you're black, you're male, you're gay. You're going to have to work 3 to 4 times harder than everybody that you're competing against. So you have to be the best.
That's
right.
The answer to
the thing. Exactly, because I was raised where, you know, we might, when I was younger, our lights got cut off. You know, I don't want to put all my minutes out there because the queens like to use it against you. But there's a difference between being conceited and there's a difference between knowing that you are who you are. I'm not saying that there may not be somebody out there better, but if you think highly of yourself, you don't need the next person around you to think highly about you because you already think that you are.
And I like that philosophy. Who said that?
Calvin.
Calvin, no, I like that. That's always the attitude I've always had. When people tell me, they're like, Marcus, you think you're better than me? No, I don't think I'm better than nobody. I'm just me.
Hey, I got the same thing.
No matter what you say about me.
I got the same thing when I was growing up.
Y'all just be going sometimes. Hold on. All right, thank you, Vonna. And now I have another caller. 614-813.
Hi, I'm Dion Omni. I was raised, I think I had like the best of, I don't know, I lived in two different lifestyles, I guess. Like I remember being raised by my mom, and like she was very, very, like she didn't have. And then I ended up moving in with my dad, and my dad had all, you know, he had, and he always pushed, like, I want you to do the best. You know, you can get out there and you can work real hard. But my mom's lifestyle was, like, totally different. So, you know, she was struggling trying to keep her lights on. She didn't know how, you know, that they was, like, going to pantries getting food and all that stuff. And, you know, when I moved in with my dad at 10, it was like, you know, he was like, you don't do that. You know, you want to go to school, you want to educate yourself. So, you know, that kind of helped me in my life. You know, I just always thought that, you know, whatever card you dealt with, that you got to fight to get it, you know, and that's why I ended up going to school and finishing college. And like my sisters on my mom's side, they was very, you know, they still barely have ninth grade education, but, you know, I think it has a lot to do with education, and, you know, that's why people are the way they are, you know, they only do what they know.
Exactly.
You know, they only do what they know. And it's so sad. I can talk to my sisters now, and like I feel like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink it. Like my one sister, she has like 5 kids, and I was like, okay, Tiffany, I can help you. Look, there's a program out here. They're going to help you get your GED. They're going to give you free internet. I went and brought her the paperwork, and I even walked her down to the place and said, hey, sign up. Let's get you this. They're going to give you a free computer, everything. But if she didn't want she didn't want to do that, you know, she it's her lifestyle, you know, she chooses to live that way. So, you know, they only do what they know.
Yeah,
and it's bad to see
like,
that.
I was raised. Go ahead.
Can I ask you guys an opinion? I have a 15-year-old, right, from a previous relationship. My daughter was adopted at 5 days old. Right, me and her mother, we were together for almost 9 years. She's 15 now. Of course, we're separated, but, you know, I'm still in her life. I play a major role in her life. A lot of people don't understand how I raise my baby. I really want honest opinions. I make my daughter, like, I'm okay. I'm not rich. I'm okay. I have a good job. My mother has a good job. So, Diamond, she gets a lot, but I make her earn everything. You know, and how I make her earn it is through, first of all, listening to her mother, you know, being well-behaved, and most importantly, in school, you know. But for some reason, my daughter, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. She just doesn't get it. She thinks that she's supposed to have the world, and I was a spoiled child. So it's important to me for her not to feel like, you know, she's going to get everything. Because when you spoil a child, when you give them everything, you never tell them no, they get the wrong ideas about life. You know, if my daughter doesn't get a good report card, I'm like, you know, that's not an iPad report card, you know, stuff like that. I, in my mind, I think that I'm making her earn her stuff. But she's still, like, vain. I was buying her a coat and some boots the other day, and she had the nerve to say to me, oh, and my sneakers are turning up. They're almost talking. Those were her exact words. And I said, just, she was almost talking. I said, Diane, how many pairs of shoes do you have? She said, I have 5 pairs of sneakers, 2 pairs of shoes, a pair of boots. And, you know, that really just turned my stomach because there's so many kids out here that do not have what some of our kids have. They don't have iPhones. They don't have, they can wear different pair of shoes every week. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I want her to have if she earns it, but I don't want her to feel like, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, can I say something?
Yeah.
You said she was 15 years old?
Yeah, she's 15.
You're never supposed to let girl go of your child. But one thing is, my father used to always tell me, and I remember this from day to day, even now, because of the mistakes I'm making, we are Missouri kids. We have to be shown. It may have to take for her to go through a situation where money is not there for her to learn. Gladly, you know, going on back what Marcus was saying about his situation, what do you think about the people and the people that you know that don't have these certain things that you had? How do you encourage them to have the things that you have?
What do you mean, like as an adult or like when we were
as an
kids?
Adult? As an adult.
Well, in my line of work, I do think that I try to help people to find financial stability, you know, it's important. I tell my daughter that sometimes, you know, my ex thinks that I'm too blunt. I bluntly say to my daughter, you know, what are you doing, you know, disrespecting your teacher, because that was an issue just recently. And I'm like, what do you want to do? Do you want to grow up to be a loser? I say that to her because I think that at 15 years old, Simon needs to start thinking about what she wants to be in life. What do you want to do?
Can I ask
you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you think that's mean, too blunt for a 15-year-old, asking if
no.
you don't want to be a loser? Because that's what you,
it is.
Acting like that, that's what you're going to end up being?
No, not at all. And let me just say this real quick, because now we're kind of getting off of topic a little bit. But I do want to say, yeah, I still want to stay on topic because I'm getting messages. But listen, the whole thing with your daughter is there comes a time, and this is something that we make mistakes with, because I went through the same thing with my younger brother. This is where it comes a time in your life where at first you start spoiling the child, giving them everything, making sure, you know, and I'm not saying this is your situation, Sakina, but I'm just saying people have a tendency, and please, y'all, with the background noise, if you know you're doing something, please mute your phone. The bottom line is you sit here and you spoil them for so long, always trying to make sure they have everything. People have children for the wrong reasons. They want to showboat them or anything like that. I know people go out there, they have kids, and they want everybody, oh, to buy all this stuff and have all this stuff and give them all this stuff for so many years in the beginning. But then after a while, it starts to, you know, take a toll on you, and they start having a custom to those things. And now you're trying to teach them. But guess what? They only are going to go based on what they were taught for so long, even though now it is time for a change, but it's going to be kind of hard to get them to adapt to now what you're trying to teach them. One thing about me, and we didn't get a chance to talk about my lifestyle as I was growing up and what I experienced in the household. I come from a household that as a kid, and I'm talking about a kid, not a young teenager, a kid. I had to go in the basement and pick up dog shit in the wintertime when we had to put the dogs in the basement because it was cold. I had to go pick up dog shit in the yard. I had to shovel snow. I had to cut grass. And I was living with one side of my family. The other side, my grandmother owned a bar. I had to go in there and mop pissy-ass bathrooms and clean up pissy-ass toilets and stuff. And this is what I was doing as I was in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. Bottom line is I was taught to work hard. And even when I worked hard, it wasn't like I was getting any type of benefit. Like, oh, you do this and I'll give you that or I'll do this. No, it was basically told this is what you need to do. It wasn't like I got an allowance. I didn't come from a family that gave me an allowance. It was like, bitch, you earning your keep. This is a part of the program. This is what you need to do. In the fall, you had to go outside and pick up the leaves. You know, these are the things that make you that hard worker. You understand? I lived in a household where I lived in a welfare hotel. When I lived with my mom, who was on drugs, we lived in a welfare hotel. When my mother had clients and stuff, I had to get up and I had to go to school in the morning. But when my mother had clients, her and her little girlfriends had clients, I had to get up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and go in the bathroom and get in the shower and close the shower door so my mother and they can have their little clients in the room because we lived in a welfare hotel or abandoned cars or abandoned buildings. It was a hard life, a very hard life growing up. But this is what I say to all the people that are out there. Everybody lives a life as you're growing up. And one may be harder than the other. One may be easier than the next. But what you have to realize, and this is what made me work so hard to be who I am today and why I continue to work so hard and bust my ass that sometimes it kills me, is because I know where I came from and I don't want to ever go back to it. And you have the power to take yourself and go where you need to go. If you don't like your situation, if you don't like the people that are around you and their situation, you have the power to fix that. You have the power to move forward. Sakina, the issue with your daughter, now I think what you need to just do, and this is my opinion, is start teaching them responsibility, teaching her to earn her keep. She's 15 years old. Time for summer jobs. Time to go out there and get a job, time to learn responsibility. And they may not like it. They'll be rebellious towards it. But that's you teaching them that this is a part of growing up, because you may not like what I'm teaching you now, but one day you will remember what I taught you.
Can I
and
say
you know,
one thing?
Go ahead. You know,
Sakina,
yeah.
I just want to say, from growing up, I can't say exactly like Jasmine because no two lives are the same, but I was taught responsibility. You know, I didn't have a father until I was about 10 because, you know, of course, you know, fathers come and go, blah, blah, blah. But I worked for what I had. And you also have to look at and don't take this offensively, but who is raising your kid? You're raising her. Your ex is raising her. The school is raising her. Life is raising her. TV is raising her. So she's getting all the, okay, well, my friends got 10 pair of shoes. I think I deserve 10 pair of shoes. Well, my other mama says, my mom says that I can have whatever I want, and she gave me whatever I want, so I should be able to have whatever I want. Yes, you may give me stuff, but now I'm at the age where I'm just like, I deserve this shit. I'm at the point where I'm just at that age where it's like, okay, you need to teach her responsibilities. All that money for report cards and A's and B's, just shit just needs to stop. It's time to make her, even if she don't get a summer job,
I was told as I was growing up, why am I paying? My mother, one time we got into it, she said, why am I paying you for good grades? I ain't paying. That's what you need to have is those good grades.
Exactly.
If you want to live in this house, you will continue to bring home those good grades.
Exactly. Coming from a person who, like, I'm the first one in my immediate family to go to school. Like, I had to work for what I got. I may not have much, but I still had to work for what I got. I mean, it has to be taught at an early age. If not, like you said, later on in life, she's going to think she's entitled to everything. And that goes back to what Marcus was saying. They're going to think that they're better than everybody.
Do you think that if your parents had you not went through what you went through as a child, you would be the person that you are today?
Well, me?
Yeah, you know, I can answer that. You know,
Bishop, when they ask one question, you got to listen.
Okay.
They're asking particular questions of certain people, and I still hear sound effects. Whose phone is that now?
That's not my phone.
Okay. You said Bishop. Dick, you said what now?
Had you not had to go through so many of the things that you went through as a kid with your family and stuff, do you think that you'd be the person that you are today?
No, not at all. And I don't say thank you to what they've done because I still feel that it's a struggle, and you know everything that I went through. But of course, no. If I had some of the opportunities that, I mean, honestly, I don't know why, and I still say maybe to this day I want to write a book about my life and everything that I've been through. But it's just like if I ever sat down and just really told some of my stories and stuff, that's what they are. They're like really stories that make people just say, wow. But of course, those things that I went through in life is that they are what made me or who have made me who I am today. It's a sad life, and it's very depressing. Don't let the money and the fame or whatever you want to call it fool you, because you can have all the money in the world and still be sad or still be lonely and still be depressed. I don't have family. And when I say I don't have family, I literally don't have family. They're all dead. You know, I don't have a mother, a grandmother. I haven't spoken to my father in a lifetime, you know, for some. You know, I have a brother who does not, you know, we just really don't talk, you know. So, you know, you don't have anyone, and I already come from a small family, and you know, the ones that are alive never agreed with my lifestyle, you know, and then the fact that they never agreed with my lifestyle. See, there's another thing about it is the ballroom scene teaches us to be catty and be competitive, and, oh, because you guys didn't agree with who I am and you guys didn't like, this goes to the Spanish side of my family. You guys couldn't take me because you guys didn't like the fact that I clung to my black side. You know, you guys wanted me to be, quote, unquote, poor, you know, Puerto Rican and acknowledge my Spanish side. No, but I chose to be on my mother's side. No matter how much my mother was a drug addict or what lifestyle she was living, that was still my mom. I still wanted to be close with her. So you guys pretty much disowned me because of, you know, the fact that I stuck on my mother's side. And as I got older, you guys didn't like my lifestyle. Now I have surpassed everyone in that family. I have surpassed everything, businesses, corporations, building houses, all that stuff. And y'all still out there struggling and doing everything that y'all couldn't take me. And now they still can't take me. So I don't have a family. I don't have no family. I don't have no one. So that's the part where it gets sad. It gets lonely. You know, I befriend the people. I thank God for the people that I do have in my life that are close with me. The people, my partners, my you know, their family and things of that sort, because those are the only people that I can hold on to. You know, I'm thankful for the people that are here in my life and their mothers and family and stuff, because if I don't have them, I don't have nobody. You know, so you have to make your own, in all honesty. You know, so that's why, you know, it gets to that point in life where you just have to keep going and keep going and keep going and doing for yourself. And you take what you went through in life and don't allow it to knock you down, because that was my goal. That was my thing. Oh, I couldn't get this as a child. I couldn't have it this way. I didn't have the Christmases and the holidays. Now I give myself and my surroundings the Christmases and the holidays. I didn't have the Thanksgivings and the big dinners. Even when we tried to have little Thanksgivings and big dinners, everybody, you know, somebody was either too high or too drunk at the table and they was trying to kill each other, you know, or somebody was drunk or somebody was in jail or somebody was, you know, it was just too much. But now I try to, you know, get that stuff out of my life. And just kind of make the best out of what you have, make the best out of who you are. So, I mean, that's how it is. But like with you, Sakina, and your daughter, that's the same thing I went through with my brother. You know, no matter how much money we was making, we're making thousands and thousands of dollars a week. Don't sit here and be spoiled over it. Don't sit here and think that just because we're making all this money doesn't mean that you can sit here and feel like everything is going to be given to you. No. We was making money and everything and traveling and going on cruises and stuff, but his ass still had a little job at the corner gas station. You know what I'm saying? And he still went out there and did what he had to do, because that's what you have to teach them. Because what happens if I die? What happens if I'm not here? Who's going to take care of you? You have to learn how to take care of yourself. 2017, I'm sorry, Jasmine, I want to say goodnight after you. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Calvin. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say goodnight. And I just asked you guys something real quick, and we could sum that up, because I've been listening
to everything. Calvin has to go real quick, though. So go ahead, Calvin. Thank you, Calvin.
I just wanted to say goodnight, everybody. Y'all have a good night. If I can call back in, I will. The issues that we're talking about, I'm just trying to settle them with my boyfriend, and he's here so we can talk about it. So good night, everybody. Good night, listeners.
Good night. Good luck with that conversation, too.
Thank you, baby. And one more thing,
yeah,
I just want to apologize from last week when I hung up abruptly. I was angry about some things. I was feeling some type of way. So, yeah, please forgive me, you guys. It will not, and I promise, will not happen again. Good night, Jasmine. Good night, Sakina. Good night, Bishop. Good night, Kelly. Good night, Ivana. Good night, Dick. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
good night.
Man.
Go ahead, Sakina, and we have another caller.
I wanted to ask Calvin, too, but, you know, that's more important, what he's doing. But so basically, because I'm a realist, I try to be anyway. I've been fooling myself, like, because the type of spoiled that I was thinking that I was doing it different with my daughter. My grandmother, she was, like, she was strange. Like, anything that I wanted, she always said yes. If she said no, all I had to do was cry. And cried real quick, too. She didn't know what turned into a yes. If I wanted things like, you know, the clothes and stuff like Marcus was saying, my grandmother would buy it for me if it was expensive. Isn't that crazy? But if it was cheap, she wouldn't buy it for me. She had this thing about, you know, you get what you pay for, blah, blah, blah. So with my daughter, I don't do that. So I thought I was doing it different because I tell Diamond no quite often, you know, and I tell her why it's a no. So I thought that maybe I wasn't spoiling her, but I don't know. I think what I'm getting from you is that I am spoiling her and I'm kind of handicapping her and treating her like a baby. Is that what you're telling me?
In so many words, I mean, it can be a little bit of that, or maybe you have done it in the past. Myself, I did that with my younger brother because I raised my brother since, you know, like the age of 11. So, you know, it can be the fact that you want them to have the best, you want them to be able to have everything they want and everything, but then after a while they start taking it for granted. She said things about the shoes. I think it comes to a point like, let me do for you. I'll do it but if you start looking like you're asking or like you feel like it's owed to you, then you stop in your tracks and be like, hold on, it's not owed to you. You need to kind of earn this a little bit. Like, where are you getting that from? So, I mean, in one way it can be like you are still spoiling to a certain extent, but in another way it's like, you want to make sure that they never are in need, so you're always going to be there for them. It's like even a prime example for me, like my brother, he moved and he decided he wanted to move out on his own and do what he needed to do and all the rest of his stuff, and he's living in a trailer. With his girlfriend, and it's not really that up to par. And when I went over there, I was like, oh my god, I want him to have the best. Like, I have all this extra stuff in my garage, TVs and electronics I'm not even using, that's collecting dust and little things like that. Oh, let's take Michael to TV and let's take Michael to speakers and let's take him this and that. And and it's like he's sitting here looking at me like, I didn't ask for that. You don't have to bring all that stuff. I'm comfortable. And we got into an argument. Like, you don't have to come over here and try to, give me all this stuff and control the way I'm living. It's not about control. It's because I want you to have the good things. I want you to have it. Now, if you choose to sell it or do what you need to do with it, that's on you. But that's what I was doing, because I want him to have it. I want him to be able to need that. But then eventually, like, if he was to come and hit me up and say, Jasmine, I can't pay my rent, or Jasmine, I can't do this, well, where's your money? What happened? Because last time I talked to you, you was high. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to stand and pay your rent. And then every time I talk to you, you high. So it's like those little things. It's like you just run into those situations. So I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like he said to me, I don't know how to raise a child. So I don't know.
Who said that?
No, my brother said that. He told me, I don't know how to raise a child. Like, you didn't raise me, and yeah, you didn't do a good job with raising me, so don't try to control. Child, please, whatever.
Well, you taught me a lot. You taught me a lot tonight. You taught me a lot tonight, Jazzy.
That's just anger. But see, that's the whole thing. That's exactly where it is. Like, it bothers me and everything, and it would get to me and everything. But then I said to myself, I can't allow, even with him being angry. My brother is a very angry person, like literally angry. And for so many years, I understood that. Okay, I understand that you're angry. You lost everyone in your family. But Michael, I lost them too. You understand? And I didn't allow that to stop me from moving forward. But he has trust issues. He has everything. He just deals with all that stuff. And he's still a good person. Like, he'll tell, I love it, my sister, but we just can't. And it's pretty much how me and my mom was. Me and my mom could not live together. We could not get along together, living together, but we were like the best of friends over the phone. But that's just how it is. But, that's neither here or there. I don't want to turn this into my life. 201-780, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I haven't had a chance to call in quite some time. Jasmine, you made a really good point about sharing about, the story of, having to work and stuff like that. I'm a parent, and, my daughter is 20 years old, and, I've just like the person that's on the phone, I was the parent that always, provided and gave her all the things that, I felt that she needed. And at 20 years old, she still does not have any sense of responsibility. Like, in her 20 years, she's had one job. She worked at McDonald's for like 2 months, and she quit the job. And, it's still like, give me, I need money. And I'm like, you're 20 years old. Like, when are you going to, and it's partly my fault, because as she was 15, 16 going up, it was constantly providing. and never really establishing a difference between what her needs were and what her wants were, that I was, you know, me meeting her, giving her what she wanted. So it's like she never really learned any sense of responsibility. I know growing up, I had a part-time job at 16, 17 growing up. You know, and teenagers now, they have a sense of entitlement. Like, it's very rare that you hear that kids go and get jobs or do anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, whoever the parent that's on the phone, what you're going through, you're not the only parent who has done that. All of us have had teenagers, or, you know, who are going through that, and we wonder, are we doing too much? Are we not doing enough? We want to make sure that they have what we didn't have growing up. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we have to at some point in there teach them some sense of responsibility. Frederick Douglass said it the best, you know, without struggle, there's no progress. And like Jasmine said, everybody's struggle is not going to be the same. But at some point, you have to learn how to work and earn something, earn your keep in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
And you're 100% right, and I thank you, caller. And I want to share something with you guys, and I'm not going to give names or go into any of that, but I want to share a little story. And how do I do this? Because I don't want to, you know, violate anyone. Let me make sure I'm looking and getting these. And I was writing these little notes down. I know that there's people out there, and I hope I don't sound long-winded when I'm saying this, and if I am, I'm sorry, but I just want to share because I know people are listening, and to the ones that aren't listening, I'm sorry. But I'm going to give an example. There's people out there, and maybe an individual. You have certain individuals, like, you know, parents, that will give their child, you, let's just look at you as an example. You have a mom, and she always gave you what she wanted to give you. But it was what she felt that you needed, not what you really wanted. And let's say, you know, she would always buy, you know, she would make sure that you had clothes to go to school, but it was the clothes that she chose. You know, it wasn't the sneakers that you wanted. You know, a lot of people don't realize, especially as parents and children, that you are the child in school. And, you know, if the next boy got, you know, Nikes on or Jordans on, you're going to want those Jordans or something. But your mother's sitting here buying you, I don't know, Pumas or something like that. You know, she's going to give you everything that she wants and what she feels that you need. So as you get older, you know, and the pressures to fit in start kicking in school, you find yourself out there that, you know, okay, I have to find a way to get what I want because she's not giving it to me. You know, so I have to find a way to get what I want. And when I go to her, it turns into an argument, or when I go there, it's this and that. So I have to find a way to get the things that I need. And at a young age, you're not realizing that maybe she's giving it to you because these are the things that you need, but because of society, peer pressure and everything, you feel like it's not really what you want. So you have to go out there and you hustle. You go out there and do what you have to do because you want to hustle to buy the things that you want. So maybe at the age of 15 and 16, you come out. And guess what starts happening? You're hanging with the queens because now you're introduced into this lifestyle. And now you see these queens that are at your age, and they have all the fab, luxurious things. They have all the nice clothes and labels. And now you were sitting there thinking about Jordans. Bitch, now they got Prada sneakers, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. You see how easy it is to get the money and everything. You're like, oh, hold up. And now I'm going to start hustling. Because I can now find a way to get the things that I need. And you're hustling. And now you're meeting older men who would buy you anything, sugar daddies, buy you anything. And this is all before you turn 16. And you're messing with older guys and everything, and you're loving it because of the fact that now you don't have to deal with mommy who's giving you the little things, what she feels that you need to survive. You're getting the things on your own, and you're hustling. You're now introduced to a whole lifestyle of escorting, making money, not having to argue with mommy over it, and being able to buy or support whatever habits you have. And then after a while, you finally get fed up with it. Like, I can't take it, because now the hustling and the escorting and everything is just starting to get to you. The way people are looking at you, the way you see life, the way you see people out there, and it's getting to you. And you get fed up with it, and you start moving forward. And you start to go out there and say, what am I going to do? And you find yourself out there, how am I going to survive now, because this is the only life that I know. So, I mean, it's so many things out there that we can say. That this is what we can say about it. You know, there's so many things out there. You have parents, like with Sakina, you know, she will sit there and make sure you have everything, but sometimes they're not satisfied at all. But then you have to be careful, because you don't want them to go out there and have to depend on somebody else or pick up a lifestyle of hustling or doing something else to get it, because that's what these kids will do. They're out there and they see friends. Oh, what's wrong? Oh, you don't have this stuff? Oh, you know what I did? Well, you don't know what I – huh?
You could have never – my God. I have a first cousin right now that has, I think her daughter is about 18 now. And I just found out about a month ago that she's out there prostituting. And mind you, she's not gay or anything. It's not just to the gay community. You know, and my cousin is like, you know, well, what can I do? You know, this is just something that she chose. But I'm willing to believe, you know, that my cousin put her foot all the way down and was like, you know, you're a certain age. You have to go out there and you have to get a job if you, you know, because that's what she said, you know. She said, you know, she wants, she didn't say mink coat, but whatever the things that she was mentioning, they were all expensive clothing items, you know. And she was like, I'm not going to supply that to her because she has two young kids, you know, younger than her, because she's young too. But I wouldn't want my daughter to think about going out there to get, you know, it's nothing but clothes. It's nothing fashion, you know.
But that's what the problem is with these people sometimes, especially the people that are in their ears. Everybody feels that, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure out there. And they feel that, you know, like, oh, why am I, you know, like the message that I got, why am I sitting here and I have to wait for mommy to get it, or she's going to get it, but it's going to be what she wants, when she wants, how she wants and stuff. But every time I go to school or every time I'm around this one, they got all the nice stuff and they got all the, you know, they seem like they don't have a worry in the world. They probably live worse than I do. They probably live, you know, in a situation where they don't have the nice stuff. When every time I go to their house, you know, they don't even have nice stuff, but yet this person is dressed and nicer than me, or going out all the time, and they're doing so many other things. So it's like the pressure of like, well, how are you doing it? And then you have them in their ear. You know what? I met this boy. I met this person. You know, you can make some money doing this. You can make some money doing that. None of us want our children or anybody that is close to us to go through that. You know, so we're going to try to do what we can, but yet, of course, anybody's going to take the easy route out. They're going to find a way, and they're going to try to take the easy route where they don't have to go through anything. It comes a time, and it's never too late, because even with these individuals or even people that I know, I mean, there's stories out there where people, they've gone through so much. I think the most important thing is that people have to learn for themselves. And as long as they have somebody there that's guiding them and teaching them or something, that's a blessing. But people have to learn for themselves. I know people that are out there, they went through all this stuff, but they got fed up. They were done. And now look at them. You know, they have good careers. They're doing very, very well. You know, they're really doing very well with their education, with their, you know, with their careers now. And if you were to sit there and look at their life, you know, even with me, you look at my life, my past, it's the past that causes you to fight so hard to make yourself a better future. And that's what happens. Sometimes people have to learn on their own. You know, sometimes they have to learn to fall. You know, they have to fall in order to get back up. And I think that's what's important about it. Even though it's a scary situation, you know, you don't want to see nobody struggle. Even to this day, I don't want to see nobody struggle. I don't want to see my brother struggle. I don't want to see no one struggle. But yet, they have to learn on their own, because eventually it gets out of hand with it. I mean, that's just how it goes. If you have any questions or want to touch in on tonight's topic, please call in and press 1-347-215. Is that the number? Yeah, 347-215-6820. If you want to touch in on tonight's topic, whose phone is that? Is that me? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, I don't know whose phone that is. If you want to touch in on tonight's topic, please press 1 for me, and you can come on and share your story. I want to thank the caller thank the listener who sent me over the message. And God bless you. But, yeah, that's pretty much it on that. Now we kind of stopped talking about trust. So,
no, it was still about trust.
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit. We just want to... I'm reading another message. We still have Dick, Bishop, Sakina, Kelly. Kelly, what are you doing over there?
I'm right here, hold on.
What are you watching?
What is that?
What are you watching?
I wasn't watching anything. It was watching me, actually. I was snacking.
On?
On. Thank you.
A bowl of cereal. Okay. Don't try me.
Somebody has a question. Kelly, I got a question for you. I don't want to call in because it's like 2 in the morning. Kelly, I want to know, is it easier to eat noodles in jail or at home?
Oh, God.
What? Oh, happy birthday to Alex. I'm an hour and 41 minutes late, but happy birthday to Alex. I hope you had a great day today. I don't know your middle name. I don't even know. I don't even want to pronounce it wrong or anything like that. So happy birthday. He's a listener. Him and his wife are listening to the show. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you had a great, great day.
Yes, happy birthday
to
Alex.
Oh, you know what? As a matter of fact, Alex, Kelly, tell Alex I suggested to them to go to Texas Day Brazil for the birthday. They're going to go on Friday. Tell them about Texas Day Brazil.
Oh, baby, it's everything. Oh, my God, the restaurant is so fab, honey. I got my ultimate life in there, honey. And, you know, the restaurant is very upscale white woman, but, you know, I had to be ghetto, honey, and take my handkerchief and put some food in my handkerchief and put it in my purse, but it's a very upscale restaurant.
Really nice. Kelly loved it.
Yes, I definitely did. But to that caller that was in Jasmine's inbox, that was in her inbox, is it easier? And will it be easier for you to take Dick on the street or jail?
Oh no. Oh yeah, Kelly.
You know,
I want to know,
is
it easier to eat noodles in jail or at home? She got out. Shout out. What about them noodles in that pack? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yes, Dick.
Okay, like we were talking about trust or whatever. Do you think that, you know, being transgender, when you decide to make that decision that you are going to go forth with that notion or whatever, does that break the trust between you and family?
It's hard for me because when I decided to do what I was going to do, I didn't really have any family, so... And then I was already at a point in my life where I lost, you know, I pretty much lost everyone. And, you know, so again, nothing fazed me. I didn't need their, I mean, when you go through so much in life like I did, my validation came from myself. So I did what made me happy. I didn't care about what made them happy. My thing was either accept me or not. And if you choose to accept me, you accept me. If you choose to not, then you just don't, you know. And that's how I chose for me. It had nothing to do with trust, you know. It just had to do with the fact of, this is me, take it or leave it.
What about you, Kelly?
My situation was different, you know. My family accepted me for who I am. So, you know, I just rolled with the punches. It was never something that I thought that was going to that I wanted to do, and it just gradually just happened. You know, I bought a girl outfit, I threw a boy outfit away, bought a girl outfit, threw a boy outfit away, and so I just had no more boy clothes, and I just was the woman that I just knew I should have been all my life.
And your family already knew too, right?
Yeah, my family. My aunt and my grandmother and my cousin knew before anybody else in my family knew. They knew before anybody. And my mother, she gagged when, you know, it was a real shocker for her.
I mean, but don't get it twisted. Now, when you do get acceptance from even the little bit of ones that are in your family, like with me it was like, you know, cousins or, you know, distant people. When I did get the acceptance from them, it did make you feel good because you do want to hear some type of validation from someone. I mean, I can sit here and be mean about it and say, oh, it doesn't mean nothing, I'm just doing me. But, of course, it makes you feel good.
It does. Trust me, baby.
It makes you feel good.
I had my first photo shoot as a girl. I gave my grandmother a picture to give to my mother. And one day I went to her house, because she really didn't accept me at first. And then one day I went to her house, and I seen the picture of me as a girl on her war unit. And so I knew she was coming around to accepting the situation.
Yeah, and it does make you. So for you people that have, for you transgenders that are out there, or even people that have parents that are accepting you for your lifestyle, embrace it. Be very happy and embrace it, because there are many people out here, you know, that don't have someone who accepts them in their life as far as family goes. And if for you transgenders that are out there to have a parent or a sibling or someone call you, you know, my daughter, my sister or something, embrace that as well. My God, that's a blessing because, you know, again, a lot of people don't have that. They're disowned. That's why you have so many people that are young in the scene. If you look at a lot of the older icons and, you know, legends and stuff, you see that they came into the scene at a very, very early age, and that's because of some of the things that they went through in life. So for you girls out there that have family that supports you or that's there by your side, embrace it, because a lot of us didn't have it.
Jasmine, feminist and sexist much? What about the guys?
Same thing for the trans men.
You forgot all about them.
I didn't forget about them. I'm sorry. I'm speaking on behalf of my experience. That's all.
Right. Girl power, girl. Yeah.
I'm still going through that I hate niggas saying I'm cute and adding me on Facebook. Child, what are you talking about?
What?
You know what? I have a question for Kelly and Jasmine. I know for me, you know, I can't for everybody else, but when you come out as gay at a young age, I know for me, I went through this personal acceptance thing, you know, and it was a little bit of a struggle. And I'm not talking about just acting on your sexuality, you know, having sex with the same sex or going to the pier and all of that. I'm talking about, like, really wholeheartedly accepting it, you know, and I think it's really based on society and them saying, you know, it's so wrong, you're going to burn the hell. So I went through a little struggle of being comfortable, you know, when I was a teenager. Do you go through that twice when, you know, you're a trans woman? Like, do you go through that twice or no? Do you go through that at all? But that's just me, like.
Let's see. You know what? I think so, yeah. I know that there was things that I went through. Kelly?
No, I didn't.
You know, Kelly over there being, but I mean, Kelly, you did go through that. Stop lying.
No, I didn't go through it. I didn't go through that because, baby, I didn't give a fuck, bitch. Once I was already out. I was already con, bitch. I was out. They knew for when I was young. I didn't give a fuck what people thought about me. Okay, baby, when I started doing it, baby, I came pumping through the front of the building, bitch. It paid everybody, bitch. It walked to the train station, bitch. It paid them, bitch. I was comfortable, bitch. Bitch, as long as my grandmother accepted me, bitch, I give a fuck what nobody else thought.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I was.
You know what? A friend of mine, she told me this had to be about maybe 2 weeks ago. That she met you years ago before your transition. And you know what that bitch said? That bitch said Kelly was a girl then, too. But Kelly wasn't a girl. You know, heterosexual people talk about our lifestyle differently. But those were her exact words, I swear to God. It was like, yeah, Kelly was a girl, but Kelly wasn't a girl. And Kelly name wasn't Kelly. I was dead, yo. I flatlined. I thought that was over.
Do y'all find it more being acceptable as do you have a more of acceptance being a transgender than you did as a, you know, BQ?
Well, I don't know nothing about that because I'm a woman, so.
No, that's right.
There is no acceptance. I'm pure woman. Yeah, I don't even know anything about that stuff. Only in ballroom, you know.
No, that's not what I meant. Let me clarify that. Say, for instance, like, okay, with Kelly's situation, Kelly came up in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So Kelly knows everybody. Everybody knew who Kelly was or whatever the case mm-hmm. it is, you know, and she had a multitude of friends, people who respect her to a certain level or people who just say, hey, what's up? You know, as her walking down the blocks or whatever the case it is. When you became transgender, did those people, like, stare from even speaking, or was it more acceptance?
Kelly over there busy. That's why she's not answering
your
question.
I'm sorry. Listen, let me tell you something. Y'all know I was going for a minute, honey, and one of my shows is on, honey, and I was just, you know, in here, into y'all, into the show. Now, I heard you say something about the hood and being accepted. You know what?
He's asking, as a, when you were a butch queen, the acceptance that you received in the hood, did it get easier for you when you became a femme queen?
I don't know, baby. I still fall for my respect because, you know, a lot of people respected me, but then a lot of people still tried it, and baby, and those are the ones that got knocked. But it made it easier. It made it easier for all the girls that live in that area now.
Okay.
Mm. Hold on. Welcome to the show, J-Rock.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, J-Rock.
How are you?
How was that meet?
Doing pretty good. How was what?
Where you been?
I know, I was at the job kind of late, and then I went to the, they have ball practice on Wednesdays now, and I went out there to go see the kids and stuff, and then I turned on the radio, well, not turned on the radio show, I called in, and I was just listening to you all, and.
So how's everything, J-Rock?
everything's good. I mean, everything's good. I'm just, I was really listening to y'all, and I was trying to catch on to what was going on with the show because I seen that the subject was trust, but I was trying to seem like it was talking about acceptance, and I'm like, well, where? I'm not understanding.
It's all trust-related, J-Rock. Hey, Dick, do you have any
Yeah, we
really
talked about trust in the beginning.
What was that?
What'd you say?
I was asking Dick a question. Do you have any, do you, did you ever have a friend that was really close to you that was transgender through their transition?
Dick?
I guess not.
Everybody's just all over the place. Dick Johnson, where did you go?
Because if he did, I think he would understand a little bit better. That it's not a... I know I'm not transgender, and people in the transgender community really hate when people that are not transgender speak on the subject. But being that I do have a couple of friends that I'm very close with, and, you know, I've been there throughout the years, you know, the transition is not for other people. Am I right? It's not for anybody else. It's for you. Am I right, Desmond?
Mm-hmm.
Is that for Kina?
Yeah.
I'm starting to know everybody's voice. How you doing, Sakina?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing good. I think, was that you that was talking about that when you had first came out, you couldn't, like, you had a problem?
No, not me. Oh, when I was a kid. Well, when I was younger, yeah, and I was like, I'll be like 13 to 15. Like, I struggled with it. I did. I really did. I mean, I was out because I came out young, man, better days and all that. I was doing all of that stuff, but I'm talking about how I felt inside, like, you know, worrying about, you know, it being wrong. You understand what I'm saying? It took me a little bit to accept it.
I totally understand, but mine was, so when you had said that, that reminded me, like, truth be told, a lot of people don't know or they probably wouldn't get it, but I still have a problem with that. Like, no matter how much I'm into ballroom and stuff, like, I mean, a lot of people would gag, but I still have a problem with that. Like, I literally still, like, be, like, contemplating, you know, maybe should I talk to girls and then try to have a family, what I always dreamed of, but no, I'm gay and all this kind of stuff. So sometimes I still fight with that.
No, those really issues do. Right there, J-Rock, you can't confuse those issues. How long have you been openly gay in years?
Since I was 23.
So that's how many years?
23
to
31. Shit. What?
I think more time.
What?
You're not bisexual, are you?
Actually, I am, but I don't tell people I'm bisexual because that raises a big old... Like, right now, if I say I'm bisexual, it's going to go off in the official ballroom. Oh, that's not no fucking bisexual. You faggot. But really, yeah,
all
official.
Right. So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, if you were bisexual and you really, really are craving for a family, I just want you and everybody else out there to know we don't have to fall victim to these stereotypes. You understand what I'm saying? Because wanting a family, to me, has nothing to do with sexuality. I realized that a long time ago. You know, I wanted, you know, I can't believe I'm standing on the radio show, but I wanted to give birth to a son. I did. I wanted that for a long time. But I'm 39 now. I'm going to be 40 in July. I've given up on that because it's complicated, because I'm not bisexual. I'm not into men. I'm not attracted to masculinity at all. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to face the fact that I couldn't live that lie anyway. I can't do that. I cannot do that. For wanting to have a child of your own, to have an extension of yourself, I think there's a lot of gay men and lesbians and maybe even trans men and trans women that want that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's human. Don't ever forget that you're human.
But I think the biggest thing with me is that I just really feel like I would make, like, the perfect dad because, you know, like, I guess it probably had something to do with my dad dying when I was 4 years old. And I see how a lot of, you know, growing up in the hood and all this kind of stuff, you see how a lot of men get these girls pregnant, then leave them, and then a bunch of kids growing up without their dad. I had a good dad. I remember my dad very vividly. I remember him. But I've always had a heart for children. Everybody's kids do exactly what I say.
Hold on, J-Rock. J-Rock, I'm not sorry to cut you off. If you're listening from a computer, pick up your phone and dial in really quickly, 347-215-6820, because the show is about to go into record mode, and you're not going to be able to listen from the computer. Pick up your phone and call in now. You have 1 minute, 347-215-6820. If we lose you, thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back Monday for the weekend recap, Tuesday for Trash Talk Tuesdays, and we'll be back next Wednesday for the State of Emergency show. And also, I'm getting tired of the promotion, free promotions that are going on, even if you're promoting yourself. I'm going to start requesting payment soon. But go ahead, J-Rock.
No, but I just know, like, it's not only that I feel, I know, I've even been told that I'm a family guy, and I really love children, and I just wanted my own, and I knew I could make a great dad, and to, like, you know, have that, like you said, that extension of yourself. But it's like, my big thing is, females, a lot of people said, if you're bisexual, then why don't you talk to females? Because it's different. It's like, a gay guy will talk to, you can find a gay guy that will talk to a bisexual male, but you can't find a straight woman that will talk to a bisexual male. And, I mean, you probably can, but most women, when they find out that you're bisexual, they think that you need, this is what I understand, they think that you need the sex of the opposite sex, and I'm like, that is stupid. You rather talk
That's
to a guy.
That's not true, because both of my children's mothers both knew that the way I live my life. I was upfront and honest from the get-go, and they were both okay with it. Then we just had a pact that as long as I was with them, I was going to be monogamous.
Well, I wish I would have found somebody like that, because my thing was, it's like crazy to me, because a girl would rather, like I asked this girl, I said, so you would rather talk to a dude that's fucking around on you with other girls than to talk to a guy that is bisexual, but when he's with you, he's going to be monogamous. That didn't make sense to me. And the 90% of the answers I got was like, no, I just couldn't do it, because you gonna always want to go back. And I'm like, y'all are so fucking stupid. Y'all might be missing somebody that's good for you.
Well, it's intimidation. You know, it's the same reason why, you know, these straight men, because I have seen this happen to other people plenty of times, where men are like, oh, yeah, two women. Oh, yeah, that shit is sexy, blah, blah, blah. It's just the two niggas I can't fuck with. And as soon as their woman, you know, he think it's cute, and they get involved with another woman, now they mad. They want to fight. They're intimidated. And the problem is that a man can't be a woman and a woman can't be a man. That's a fuck from J-Rock. It's intimidation.
I think you
okay.
can always go back.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Enough of that. It's 2 o'clock, and it's time to talk about the shows. So, I'm sorry that we're changing this up, but thank you everybody who called in tonight for tonight's topic, when we talked about trust and family and relationships and friends, and I wish the best to Calvin and everyone who is going through something out there, and hopefully it helped, and I want to thank everybody who did call in and listen, and that touched in on the basis. Even with you, Sakina, thank you for tuning in and sharing your story about your daughter. I just wish everybody the best, and just embrace who you have in your life. That's really important. And as far as trust goes, you just, I don't know, even with Bishop, where did Bishop go? You still there? Oh, you there. Bishop, you've been quiet. I'm scared to ask you to talk. Because, you know, it's about this time you be sounding very different, like you got a little intoxicated on that end. But, I want to say thank you to everybody that shared their stories and everything like that when it comes to trust and, you know, relationships and friendships and family and stuff. And I hope everybody listened. And, you know, in all honesty, when it comes to a lot of these people, you know, we just got to just move forward and do what's best for us. I wish everybody the best. And when it comes to me personally, in all honesty, I care about myself and, again, who's on my team. And I also have a heart for people that are out there. But I'm not going to break my neck to please you or make you happy, and I don't expect you to break your neck and please me or make me happy. I want everybody to do what they need to do for themselves. And if, you know, whatever people choose to do to move forward, I wish you the best. If you played a role in my life at one time, you will always have a special place in my heart. It's no shade. If we speak now, if we never speak again, that's how it is. That goes for people, you know, anybody out there, even from my own biological family. I don't wish harm on no one. I'm not that evil. I'm not that bad. So I just wish everybody the best. But like in Calvin's situation, you have to learn how to care about yourself and move forward, especially when you're on that track. Don't allow no one to hold you back. To the new people that I'm introduced to now in life, I wish you too the best as well. And don't allow no one to hold you back from succeeding at what you guys are doing, because that's what's important. You know, for you, you only you two know, no matter who accepts it, no matter who was in your corner, no matter what, be successful, because you never know whose life you're going to touch in the end. For you, Sakina, the way you're raising your daughter, that, you know, for everybody out there, you know, just do your best and move forward, and it's no shade. And for anybody that wants to sit here and talk shit behind other people's backs or jump on the bandwagon and have everybody listening in your ear and whispering in your ear, and even the people that talk about this show or talk about me or talk about Kelly or whoever, you know what you can do. You know how I feel about that. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect anyone. So it doesn't even work.
My big fat black ass.
Yeah, you know how it is. That's just what it boils down to. Because, again, and it's no shade, and again, Sakina, when I said it earlier, wasn't to take, you know, I hope I wasn't offending anyone. If I did offend anyone, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anyone, but I definitely mean I meant to attack individuals. Yes, I did. If you wake up and you're just so angry and bitter, and you just want the whole world to be as dark as your surroundings, then you have to do something, child. Do something with your life. But on that note, I'm not going to continue. Welcome to Talking Horror. That's what I'm calling it. So if
all
anybody
right, so
watched
I'm
American
gonna,
Horror...
I'm going to say goodnight. Oh, I'm not a TV person. I have no idea what y'all going to be talking about. So I just want
to
say goodnight to everybody. Good night, Dick. Good night, Kelly. Good night, J-Rob.
Good night, too. I don't talk horror. I'm about to watch Law & Order SVU.
And Jasmine, I just want to tell you, you know, I live. Yeah. You have, like, the perfect balance of strength and sweetness, even though you try to hide your sweet side, but you can't hide it from me, girl. You are so adorable. And I'm not trying to turn you into a lesbian. I'm just telling you I live.
Oh, thank you, Sakina.
Ain't nobody else that.
All right.
What was that? Thank you, Sakina. Thank you so much. Dick, what was that, Dick?
She ain't showing nobody else that side. she got a looking glass out. She got a looking glass out this world over there.
Child, see. Background. 326, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. I'm a longtime listener. I just wanted, before you guys started talking about the TV shows, I'm just wondering if you could give us an update on your quit and speak about that briefly.
About quit? Update on my what?
On your quit, the cigarettes.
Oh, I'm still going. I'm still
going. Yeah, you definitely inspired me, and I know you inspired a lot of people, so I just wanted to hear a little bit about that and how's it going.
I mean, it's I go. I keep going. I'm very grateful that I have a support team right here with me as well. We both, you know, have quit. He's 5 months. I'm 4 months. You know, we work together with it. I think it's always good to have someone in your corner, you know, when you do make a major step like that. And, you know, you just have to learn how to balance it. Even to this day, there are some times when you do get, like, a little stressed out or something and you feel like you need a cigarette, you know. But I don't do it. Right now, what I do is I even have it right here. You know, I have an electronic cigarette. And I just, you know, I just puff on it every once in a while. And they're just flavor. Like, I puff on, like, vanilla or peppermint or something. I think a lot of it has to do with, in all honesty, a lot of it has to do with the feel of actually having that cigarette in your hand. And, you know, every once in a while, like when you're not doing nothing, you just inhale and you just have this flavor taste in your mouth. But, yeah, I still go. It's going on 5 months. I think it's going to be the 21st. It'll be 5 months. That I've quit, and I've noticed
a big
difference.
Does dealing with the show or the room make you like sometimes like the craving is just like out of this world?
The room doesn't bother me at all because I don't allow the room to affect me. The show sometimes can get a little, you know, overbearing when you feel like you might need one, but in my line of work, you know, with business and, you know, dealing with so many different type of personalities and issues and stuff, that's when it gets kind of stressful, when you're dealing with some type of bullshit like, you know, car problems or, you know, you got a phone call and with some damn issue, it's like, ugh, you know, ugh, I need ones. But, you know, it comes and it goes. One thing I say is that I'm very grateful to God, that God gives me enough strength to keep going and control myself. That's the most important thing. So I take every day as a blessing. I never sit here and say I'll never pick up a cigarette again or I'll never pick up a blunt again. I can't say that because I don't know what the future holds for me. So I take every day as a blessing and I work hard. Just like within my job, I never want to go back to the way I used to live. So I take, you know, I work hard each time I can so I don't have to fall. And it's the same thing with cigarettes. I take my time. Like, I notice that after I quit, like, if I go around someone that smokes or something, like, it really bothers me. Like, it kind of makes me a little nauseous. Like, I won't, you know, I won't be like, get away from me or nothing like that. But, like, you know, I'll just kind of back up a little bit. I don't knock anybody for smoking or, you know, say, you need to quit that because I know how hard it is, you know.
Oh, thank God you said that because I was about to say, baby, I'm not coming down there next month.
No, I won't. I definitely won't. I definitely won't knock you for what you do. I definitely won't knock you. I will keep my distance. And how can I knock somebody? Because even when I was a smoker, you know, when I was around certain people, I had to allow them to accept me, and I didn't like when they were down my throat saying certain things. So I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon and knock you because you're still smoking. I truly believe that the day will come like it came for me. The day will come when you say to yourself that I'm done with this. That'll be the day when you realize, because no one told me to stop. I knew that I needed to stop for my own health. I felt how it was affecting me. And I woke up one day and I said, I don't want to do this no more. We always talked about how bad it was, like, child, this is getting expensive. Child, this is fucking up our teeth. Child, oh, my God, you know, my clothes are smelling like cigarettes. Oh, my God, is that what we smell like? You know, little things like that. You start really realizing it, but then eventually you just, you know, you want to give up, and that's what I did. You know, I just woke up one day. Actually, it was a day that, you know, I got my license back after 2 years, and I was so grateful to God that, you know, I was able to go into motor vehicles and get my license, that I felt like God was giving me a new chance, a new start. And I was like, I'm giving up cigarettes today. And I just stopped, and I haven't had one ever since. And I know if I can do it, y'all definitely can do it, child, because the shit I deal with, honey, I need a bump, to be honest with you, from time to time.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Mama used to bump back in the day, honey. I done did all that shit.
Oh, bitch, let me pack my bags. Because, baby.
So, we don't really have up call, or you're still there. Did you watch American Horror Story?
I actually did not.
Why watch it?
I like to wait until the season's done, and I go and watch the whole season. So that's how I do it now.
Oh my God. Okay, caller.
I love
you. Get you back on hold. Thank you, caller. J-Rock, did you watch it? No, because you was out.
I'm about to watch it right now.
There you go. My Shamika, honey, for everybody that did watch it, it was very good. I enjoyed it once again, and I feel bad that nobody's here to really talk about it because all these people have not watched it.
I watched it down.
Okay, so you watched it.
My favorite part of the night was when Fiona pointed and put her in her chair, and the queen said the queen warlock said, uh-huh.
Yeah,
<he's
me>. Yeah, I keyed at that too. We have a call.
I do
watch
American
Horror Story.
Me and some people came together with a theory tonight, watching it or whatever. We had a big thing or whatever. Like, eight of us watched it together. And we were thinking that, what if Angela Bassett ends up being the next Supreme? And they came up with a big scenario on how this all could come.
I don't know. Who is Shamika, is that you? 518-779.
Hey, how you been?
Hi.
Prada, what's going on?
Oh, hey, Prada, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Fine. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
See, J-Rock?
I think the little girl who had the chainsaw is going to be the next Supreme.
I think that's too easy. I think it's going to be some kind of twist that's going to fuck everybody up.
Exactly, because I mean, she don't seem like she's really much of anything. But did you see how she just put the zombie down? And she even made Angela Bassett fall to the floor. Like, damn, that bitch got some power over.
Yeah, Angela Bassett did say she had some power. Like something really big was going on over there. How come they didn't show previews of the next season? And
yeah,
I think Enrique posted it. I think Enrique posted it in the room. I didn't watch it yet.
I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but I'm just to get out of here and go watch the American Horror Story. So y'all have a good night. And to Prada, I love you, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
So we have to
recap American Horror Story like every 2 weeks or something like that so everybody can catch up because nobody watches it.
everybody watches it. It's just that some of these people don't watch it.
Well, I never started watching it until y'all started talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Prada, for watching it so we can – well, I'm going to still talk about it to get it out of my system. What did y'all think about Miss Thing getting burnt? And then at the end, Miss Thing coming back.
Thank you.
I gagged because I didn't know that the human voodoo doll put her hand in that fucking acid. That was a gag.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking that she really did do it.
But the gag is, I think the girl who put the zombie down, when the lady was getting burned, she put a curse on the lady so the lady wouldn't die.
Who are you talking about at the end when Misty went over there to her and brought her back to life?
Mm-mm. The one that I said, I think it's going to be the next Supreme. You know how she was looking and had the little fire in her eye. And, you know, that's when it kind of went off right there and went to a commercial. You know, I think
well,
she
are they
going to
fully resurrect her, or are they, or she's just going to be just a pieces of, like, what she is now? But are they going to fully resurrect her?
I think she's going
to
be
fully resurrected. Well, Misty has it. I think she's going to be fully resurrected because Misty has that, you know, she knows how to actually, you know, like she healed Zombie Boy and, like, the little Frankenstein boy. She she was able to put that stuff on his skin and, you know, she says all that stuff brings everything, generates new skin and stuff. So she might bring her back. I don't know. But that was a key, though. But I gagged that she was the one who actually threw at Miss Myrtle through the acid in her daughter's face.
But see, that could have been a lie because you got to pay attention to when the
right.
Hymn of Voodoo Doll stuck her hand in the acid. Everything she said,
that's
she
right.
was making shit up.
But bitch, Fiona had played that part real well, bitch. No shade.
She lies down. Fiona lies with a straight face. That bitch is not to be trusted.
So what was up with the part where Fiona was able to bring that dead baby back to life?
Oh, that was sick, man.
Yeah, but I think that was
at
more of her
I
mother's
she
intuition
was dreaming.
About her own daughter being hurt.
Yeah. At first I thought she was actually dreaming and stuff, but then I was like, okay, well, you know, is this bitch hallucinating or whatever, but I was I was gagging. Like, I thought when she was in the hospital and she was, like, really going off on a doctor and stuff, Miss Thing is so powerful, she probably could have blew up that whole hospital floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she could have. I was surprised she held herself like that. And then last week, we were thinking that Fiona was the one who threw the acid, but it wasn't. But it still really could be. We don't know.
I don't know. Oh, the preview is in here. I'm about to watch this preview. Hold on, y'all tell me.
I had to go blind to see things we couldn't see before.
Next Wednesday.
Where'd you find the spirit board? No one could find me.
I thought I'd hired me a professional witch hunter. Bring me there.
I'm so important to you, but I don't know who you're talking to.
All those witches. American Horror Story. Coven all new next Wednesday at 10.
It's in the room if y'all didn't see the preview next week. It's in the room. Thank you, Enrique.
What y'all think about Fiona's daughter and her husband? You know, how she was blind, but when he touched her, act like he just loved her so much.
Oh, my God, yes. Did y'all catch that? I gagged. I was Yep, she saw everything. Like, and what is? I still don't know what's up with him. Like, why is he some little serial killer or something? It's a key that they always twist everything around.
I'm telling you, Angela Bass is going to end up on top of everything at the end of this. I see that happening.
And I just moved
what if we
all white dating?
Oh me, no, go ahead. Because I gotta say two things. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I just feel sorry for the old white lady. Everything just coming back to haunt her ass. And she just so stupid.
Miss Kathy Bates, when I tell you I gagged at the beginning, she's nobody to fuck with, in all honesty. And I think if she gets that same, attitude that she had back in the day, like she wasn't even playing with her own daughters. She found out when she overheard them talking like they was going to get her, she got her own daughters together. Bitch, I was gagging at that. She locked up her daughters, told them, close, break her leg. And bitch, she said, for Christmas, I'm going to feed you shit or fill your mouth up with shit. I was gagging at her.
Mm-hmm.
I need her to be strong again the way she was because she gagged me. And I like the fact of how her and Miss Gabby is they're embracing each other. So
yeah.
I like that part.
Yeah, because she's coming along.
I like the fact that they also, you know, they portrayed Kathy Bates as, you know, she was doing this only to, only black people and the slaves and stuff. But no, it wasn't just black people and the slaves. She was doing this to her own daughters. You know,
mm-hmm.
she was just fucking up everybody. Even when the daughter brought the boy, you know, the little boy over, and he was, you know, trying to kick it with her, and she was like, come through my house of horror, and bitch, he couldn't even handle the first two, you know, the first two dishes, bitch. It was like she was fucking with everybody.
Did y'all catch how Fiona fed Gabby that bullshit, and Gabby was living for it, her being the next Supreme?
Yeah. Bitch. Fiona like, yeah, you're going to be the next Supreme. She like, oh, really? Oh, I'm living. Girl, please.
Like, yeah, she definitely did already. That.
You over there getting raped by half man, half beast and shit. Girl, sit your ass down somewhere.
Yeah, I was gagging at her. And what's his face? The little girl, how she was trying to save the guy. Like, she really has it in for that guy that lives next door and shit. I still think they probably give her the, you know, she might be the Supreme. You never know what's going to happen.
I will. What the hell is with the butler kid getting in drag?
The butler got it in her business. Madison's arm fell off and everything. I was gagging at him.
Okay, he was spraying around like he was on the move.
Mm-mm.
Y'all can't handle her. She keep being in drag.
Girl,
that's
probably Fiona old clothes. You know he been loving her for so long.
And then when Miss Thing was like, okay, y'all, everybody go to the attic. He was on the stairs like, not the attic. And then she was like, all right, to any other room. Just take them to any other room. He was not letting them go up to the attic.
Okay, he said, this is my chamber of secrets, bitch.
I'm gagging, though. She lied on Myrtle like that and just got her burned at the stake. I'm gagging. That gagged me.
I wonder how much of it was a lie, though. I really wonder how much of it was a lie.
I think all of it was a lie, but I think Myrtle felt like she was never going to win over her. Because even the coven had turned against her just that quick. With just a few words, the coven had already started to see Fiona's half of the story. So
I love how Myrtle said it, though, when she was on the stake. I forget exactly the words, but she was like, you guys are all a whole bunch of toads being stirred in Fiona's pot.
She said, I'd rather burn in the fire than boil in the pot.
Yeah, she was like, I'd rather burn than boil. Bitch, I gagged at her. Like, really?
And then Fiona set her ass on
fire. I live for Miss Misty. When the way she just be pumping through and just finding these people. I wouldn't even gag if this bitch is the Supreme at the end or whatever. She's just like this old. I love her whole attitude, her whole Stevie Nicks attitude. The way she pumps through and is bringing everybody back to life and stuff.
But if they bring Myrtle back to life, I think Myrtle's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think her second time around, she's going to really cut up.
Yeah, God, Fiona better watch her.
Yeah, Fiona need a good dose, honey. She need to, I don't know, I live, but oof.
Nobody has turned her yet. Nobody has turned her yet.
But I did think she was going to kill her daughter when her daughter said, and you think, you thought she was the next Supreme. I thought she was going to kill her daughter when they was having drinks.
Angela Bassett has yet to show you the magnitude of her powers yet. And I'm telling you, something she's going to do is going to make this show epic. I'm telling you, she is going to turn it. She's going to turn it. They're just waiting for the right time, but Angela Bassett is going to turn it.
Well, I think she's turning it already.
She got so many spells and stuff that she knows of and stuff like that, whatever. And that's why I said be aware of her. Something is going to happen where Angela Bassett is going to accuse some other kind of powers or something like that. This show is going places that I never thought it would go.
Mm-hmm. So what do y'all think about Scandal for tomorrow night?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on Scandal.
Mother. Mr. President killed
what
Olivia.
What did you say,
mama.
Prada?
I say Mr. President killed Olivia Mama.
Oh, I just hope it's not true. I hope it doesn't really fall into place like that.
If it's true, she's going to turn
really
his ass.
I just think that's so devastating. I think I said it last night, like, oh, my God.
She's in love with him or whatever, but she's very vindictive when she's scoring. So if that's true, he's in for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looks like she's looking for answers next week, this tomorrow. She looks like she means business.
Wow.
What y'all think about Millie asking her to come back?
Millie is a key. Millie is definitely a key. Do you think she should go back?
I don't think she should go back. But Millie, she be socking it to the girls. No shade. She be getting her little points when she need to.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm puppy sitting this weekend, Jasmine.
You puppy sitting?
Yeah, I'm puppy sitting. You know, I got two of my own, but I'm puppy sitting another one this weekend. He's 9 weeks old. His name is Spanky.
Don't be trying to make him.
No, I got all boys. I got two boys, and the other one that's coming is a boy. He is a bull terrier like the one on Friday. And he's only 9 weeks old.
What is the weather given where everybody's at?
It's snowing and raining and thundering and lightning, and you don't know what it's going to be from hour to hour.
Well, in Texas and Houston, we done went from three different things today. This morning it was raining, then it was sunshining, and then all of a sudden after work it was kind of cold.
How cold does it get in Texas?
Chill. 30.
Well.
But it'd be funny because
when I was down there, we barbecued for Christmas 1 year.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it'd be real hot. It could snow one day. It could have a little snowflakes, and then the next day it'll be hot as hell outside.
Are you doing Christmas dinner, Jasmine, or Thanksgiving dinner?
Most likely Thanksgiving. I don't think I'm going to I don't know what I'm doing for Christmas.
What's on your wish list for Christmas, Jasmine, this year that you just got to have, your thing that you just got to have this year?
My birthday and Christmas are close. My birthday is the 14th of December, so I kind of like, you know, combine the two. But the only thing that I truly, truly want is the new iPad Air, in all honesty.
Okay.
That's, like, the latest thing. I don't even think I want a new... I still have the iPhone 5. I don't think I want the new iPhone yet. Because I know that, you know, in the summertime, a new one is going to come out. So I don't want to get locked down with a 5S or, you know, something. And then all of a sudden, I wish... I have Verizon, so I wish... I know that I talked to them recently, and they tried to sell me this whole thing about, you know, you can upgrade when you want or some shit like that, but you got to pay all this extra. It was just too much, child. Now you have time to listen to everything they were saying. I'd be like, child, call me later.
Yes,
but, it just, when they talk too much, when people start talking too much, I just be like, mm-mm, I don't even want to listen
to
no more.
They be over-talking, they be trying to sell it to you.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I'm just going to kind of stick with the phone now because I don't have no issues with it. I don't know, am I the only person that changes their case every month? Like, I just have to have a new case every fucking month. And I always buy spec cases for my phone, for my iPhone, because they're just so, you know, they protect the phone. But, you know, as long as I feel like I have my case and everything, I'm pretty much good to go. But I definitely want the iPad Air. Like, I'm so thirsty for that iPad Air. Like, if they don't give it, you know, if they don't get it for me, I'm just going to have to get it for myself.
How many pounds of chitlins you doing for Thanksgiving?
I don't do chitlins, sweetie.
What?
Thank you. I'm with Jazz. I don't do chitlins either. Them things stink.
Jazz, you don't clean chitlins?
Mm-mm. Ain't nobody eating
chitlins. I don't have time for that. Mm-mm.
I know Kelly probably going to do about 50, 60 pounds over there.
I don't do chitlins. Chitlins. It don't even sound right.
What do you mean they don't sound right?
They don't sound
it
right.
Just don't hear. It doesn't sound right, honey.
Why don't they sound right?
And I don't care how you try to sell it with hot sauce or whatever. No, ma'am, I'm not eating that shit.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you how you do it. You have to clean them, boil them, I mean, clean them, cook them. And after you cook them, you take a couple of them and strain them and turn the grease up real, real hot like you're about to fry fish and batter them and drop them in the grease or whatever. And you crunch. I mean, they're crunchy.
They still stink. I don't want it. No matter if you're trying to sell it to me fried, boiled, whatever, I don't want that shit.
Even cooking them is going to make your whole house stink. You have to, cook them
that's
outside.
From people who don't
you
know
have
how
to cook
clean
it outside.
Chitlins. If you clean chitlins the right way, you should be able to take your finger and stick it in the chitlin and see your finger through the chitlin. If you can't see your finger through the chitlin, that chitlin is not clean.
If you got to go through all that, don't nobody want to eat that shit. Go to McDonald's.
Damn, you know what? I'll be down there for Thanksgiving. I'm doing you some chitlins.
And baby, you ain't doing chitlins here. You could do chitlins wherever else you go. Make sure you get yourself a nice little timeshare where they got kitchenettes and all that stuff, and get yourself a kitchen, and you could do your little chitlins there. But you will not be doing chitlins on this property. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Have you ever tasted them?
Mm-hmm. I tasted them when I was a teenager. I went with my best friend at that time, Stephanie. I went over to her aunt's house for Christmas, and her aunt had cooked chitlins. And the sad part about it is that as soon as you walk into the fucking hallway, you smelled it. And I'm like, oh, what is that smell? Like, you're supposed to be smelling this big home-cooked meal and all these muffins and pies and food and stuff. And, bitch, you smelled the chitlins. And I said, oh, God, I'm not even hungry. Now, if she cooked it right, I don't know. If she cleaned them right, I have no idea. I don't know. And then back at home, I live with my family was Muslim, so we were just eating curry. We didn't even celebrate Thanksgiving or nothing. Everything was curry, curry goat, curry lamb, curry chicken, curry fish. And that was it. So it was one house
one
that smells like
that
nothing but curry powder.
Like you have to have on Thanksgiving. What's one dish that you are looking forward to eating on Thanksgiving?
Some sweet potato pie.
I like sweet potato pie. Definitely. And I like pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin pie a lot, actually. I like pumpkin pie more than sweet potato pie. And as far as a dish goes, I don't know. Because randomly I like to, when I do cook and stuff, I'll cook like, you know, certain things that are really holiday traditional, I'll just cook it. Like, randomly, I'll make, you know, cook a ham. And, you know, it's usually a nice, you know, ham and, you know, pineapples and, you know, all, you know, fully decorated and decked out and stuff and everything. And it's not even a holiday, you know. So it's just kind of hard. I don't really know.
But what are you going to do when you get this husband, when God says you're this husband, and he's just everything you ever dreamed of, and this man come home, and he been working, he paying these bills, and you got to cook for this man for Thanksgiving, and you say, well, baby, what do you want for Thanksgiving? And he said, well, I got to have my chitlins,
And, you know, he starts from there. What are you going to do?
I don't know. What the hell are you talking about? You must not know my history. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have no idea what you're talking about. But if I ever came across someone who said, this man comes home paying all the bills and asking, where's my chitlins, that wouldn't be happening. I'm sorry. The first thing I would say is you better call your mama and ask your mama where them chitlins at ain't here.
But and you go and he paying all the bills and it's no and he can't get his chitlins. That's crazy.
It's no shade. You can't do no chitlins.
He's paying all the bills. Really?
He's paying all the bills. He's paying all the bills. Your money, you can
do whatever you want to do with it. What am I doing if he's paying all the bills? What am I doing?
You're doing everything except for cooking chitlins. His mama still got to cook his ass some chitlins. Paying bills or not?
Child, please, That's why women can't get
what they keep asking for, a good man. Because if a man wants some chitlins, regardless whether you like them or not, you should have your ass in there learning how to clean and cook chitlins.
Baby, I go buy him some cooked chitlins. I ain't cooking shit. It's thine.
And Jasmine, you haven't had them since you were a teenage girl. You may fuck around and eat a pot of them now because they be so good. Because you know a big bucket don't make but a saucepan of them.
It's certain things that I just won't eat. Liver is one of them. Chitlins is one of them. Spinach is something else. I just won't eat it. It's just something that I just won't do. It's just
Brussels sprouts is nasty.
We got to let in common, Jazzy. We got to let in common.
Yeah, it's just, and even with like spinach and liver, the reason why I didn't eat that is because my grandmother forced me to eat it. So if it was forced upon me as a child, then of course I woke up. You know, I grew up with, rebellious against it, or I don't like it and stuff. But I don't like it. Those are certain things that I don't like. Now I didn't even like cabbage, but then I knew that eventually cabbage was like, and I know spinach is healthy as well, but my body adjusted to cabbage. Like I can actually eat some cabbage. Now don't get me wrong, I do like certain things. Like I like pig's feet, but I won't eat chitlins. Like, you know, like when my grandmother would make, like, you know, make pig feet and like in a stew and stuff like that. Oh, I love it. You know, I love stuff like that. But chitlins, I just can't because I know what it is.
But you haven't had chitlins in over 2 decades.
But
you,
I know what it is. But I know what it is. I'm not going to eat intestines.
But that's the thing. Some of the chitlins, when you eat chitlins, it's not all chitlins. Chitlins, because they cook down, you can get a whole bucket and they cook down to so little, you have to put some people put hog maws as a filler in the chitlins to bring it back up.
You sound just like them people at Verizon. You is really trying to sell it, honey.
Yes, brother. You're really trying to sell it.
Okay, he is really
Dick, I need you. Why don't you make some chitlins then? Why don't you do that? Make some chitlins and freeze them and overnight them to me.
Okay.
Do it on a Tuesday so I can get it on a Wednesday. And I can come on the air and read the fuck out of you. That's what you can do.
That is so fierce. Y'all not even giving stuff a chance. It's food.
Mm-mm. So anything that look nasty, smell nasty, I just can't.
I have even had the pleasure of even trying to eat. I've ate monkey brains before. That's something I never thought I would eat. I never thought I would eat monkey brains, but I've tried it. I don't like the texture of it. The taste wasn't that bad.
To cannibals, humans are food. Do we eat humans?
Mm-mm. No, that's a little bit too far.
And
and monkey brains and snails and monkey brains and what else is some of that shit I see people eating? Frogs.
Octopus, frog legs,
No, that's on my Spanish side. Ain't nothing wrong.
Calamari.
With octopus. I love me some pulpo salad, some octopus salad. I kind of do like it. Even though I used to have, and it's sad because I do like octopus salad, but mind you, I used to have an octopus. I have, you know, fish tanks all over the place, so I used to have an octopus. It had 7 legs. We used to call it siete. But I felt bad when I used to have him because I used to be like, oh, I used to eat your ancestors. And if you die, I might eat you too. And mind you, he did die, but I didn't eat him. I let him go. But, oh, my God, yes. Octopus salad is really, really good, especially the way my uncle used to make it. It really tasted good. But that's the furthest I would go. It's like, okay, if I ate some type of exotic food, octopus salad would be the only thing. But snails and frogs and even alligator and snake and monkey brains and stuff like that,
I think that's just a mental thing. I think now if you try some of this stuff now, you'd be amazed at the way that stuff tastes to you.
I never even ate duck before.
Oh, that's good.
Me neither.
Oh, yes, that's good.
I
gotta get some Thai food
though. I ate deer before. I didn't like it. I ate raccoon before. I didn't like it. This is stuff I was forced to eat. You know, I grew up in a very we had raccoon one time and we had deer and I didn't like it.
Possum is good.
And I never ate possum. Right. And bitch, I could look out my window, honey, and see possums and raccoons and motherfucking deers. And I just
thank you. I'm from the South and I don't eat half of that shit that Dick is naming, baby.
Have y'all ever been to New Orleans?
Yes, God. I go to New Orleans a lot, and I still don't eat all that shit.
They got some of everything in those places. When I was there this summer, I had fried alligator. I had all that. I mean, they just sell some crazy stuff, but it's not bad. It's good.
I mean, well, you know, they have Louisiana restaurants in Houston, too, so in Texas, so.
Yes, I think Peter, well, you're going to have to just let me come down there and do Thanksgiving dinner so you can be officially welcomed to soul food.
Officially welcomed to soul food? You can't you can't officially welcome me to soul food, bitch. that just ain't going to happen. I'm about as southern as the next person, honey. That ain't going to happen. It's just certain things that I just do not eat. I like my neck bones. I like my oxtails. I like all that stuff. My turkey wings. I just had some good ass turkey wings the last weekend. I like all that stuff, but I just won't. I just won't.
Y'all don't know what y'all missing.
I know what I'm missing.
Not a damn thing.
Pigtails, the snout. You put the snout in there with some cayenne pepper, a little.
You is just, you is country. You super country. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't even like fish, though, to be honest with you. Like, I'll eat tilapia and stuff, or maybe salmon, but I don't even like fish. Like,
oh, no,
whiting
we just
and
had fish fry on Friday. We had catfish. I did catfish,
mm-mm,
perch, buffalo, white bass, and shrimp.
I don't like it.
I used to eat catfish a long time ago. I don't really eat catfish anymore either.
I don't like catfish as much as I used to when I got introduced to other fish, but I learned something about catfish. Catfish has this, like, muddy taste, aftertaste to it, but if you marinate it in buttermilk for like maybe a couple of hours in the refrigerator before you fry it or whatever, it takes that dirty taste out of it.
I'm okay with you.
I'm making a bitch hungry at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody got time to be eating at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you sitting here talking about some damn food. We supposed to be talking about scandal or something like that. You talking about food and oxtail. I mean, whatever that shit is called, chitlins. I already see the people that's listening. I can imagine the phone calls I'm going to get tomorrow. No, you really supposed to cook your chitlins like this. And Jasmine, he was right, and you supposed to cook it like that. I don't want to hear about no chitlins, and don't do no recap tomorrow on no damn chitlins. I ain't, I'm about to have a fucking yogurt and go to bed. That's my chitlins. You ever watch those shows? I forget which show it is. Like I don't know if it's on the Food Network and stuff, but it's like bizarre food and stuff like
Paul
that.
Paul Zimmerman.
And these guys.
Paul Zimmerman or something like that. Bizarre food.
I forget, but I know this one guy goes around to like these different places. That should be looking so good, though. The stuff that he be going to.
He does.
Oh, it'd be looking really good. Like ooh. You can't watch those food networks and stuff without getting hungry. I'm sorry.
I need to try to. You know what? I haven't watched the Food Network since they took Paula Deen off. I'm upset about that, and they need to put her back on. I don't like. I really don't care for the rest of that stuff on there.
For all you people out there that say that, oh, I don't have an appetite, or oh, I need a blunt in order to eat, because I've heard that a million times. Like I can't eat unless I have a blunt or anything like that. I'm going to teach you a trick. Turn into one of those food channels and watch a show about the food. Not the ones where they're cooking it or anything. You can watch that too. But watch one of those food shows, especially the guys that go to the different restaurants and you see the food that they have and how they make it and stuff. Watch a full episode, and I guarantee your ass be hungry at the end of that show. You ain't going to need no
food. Talking about Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I don't know which one it is. I know one of them is called Bizarre Food,
okay.
But like I don't know exactly which one it is. Like I've seen many different ones. You know, Bizarre Food, and another one was the top weirdest foods of the of the season, and the other one was I don't know. But I watched some of those shows. You know, how to redo your bathroom, how to redo your kitchen, how what to cook here, and. Different type of unique foods in different areas and stuff like that. Louisiana looks like it has some good-ass food, for real. I see a lot of that stuff. Oh, my God, like a bitch. Mm-mm.
See, right now, talking about all that food, you had you a good bowl of chitlins and some hot sauce, you all right.
That's just one more golf zone attack ready to happen, honey. I ain't got time for that. Oh, my God. You know what's funny? Before we get disconnected, I was just watching it a little earlier. What is that guy, Jimmy Kimmel or something like that? His fucking ass, I don't know where it's at, if it was YouTube or where it was at, but he had a special where parents sent in videos of them telling their kids that they ate all their Halloween candy. So you have all these kids. Different clips of kids crying and going off because the parents are saying, all your Halloween candy's gone. Mommy ate it. Daddy ate it. You know, da-da-da-da. And the kids are mad and crying and going off. Bitch, it's so fucking funny. I was hollering. It was so fucking funny, especially the last one. That little girl was like, no, call her. She was like, no, but she's in school. No, tell her to come home. No, she can't come home. That little girl, she had to be like 3 or 4. She was like, that bitch. And I was like, oh, my God. The way she shook her head and said it, she was like, that bitch. The way she twisted her head and said it was so funny, like, oh, my God. And there's some cute ones on there when they're crying. And they're like, the mother will say, mommy ate all your candy. And the little girl will be crying. She'll be like, that's okay. And she's crying and stuff. I mean, it's just cute. You got to watch it. So if you want to laugh before you go to bed, watch it.
One thing y'all have to watch, and this is something for everybody to watch, It's a movie called Spit on Your Grave, Part 2. You have got to see this. It is good.
Yeah, I know about the I think I've seen the first one. I don't remember. I didn't see the second one. I heard they're making a Purge, too, if you guys are fans of Purge. The first movie,
oh,
the first one was really good. They are making a Part 2. I just, you know, I subscribe to a lot of those movie sites and stuff. And that's coming out. And 12 Years as a Slave I want to see as well. And if you still didn't see Bad Grandpa, make sure you fucking see it because it's hilarious.
Oh, they done wore
and
me out on
thank
that movie.
You.
We done watched that shit like 12 times now.
Yeah, thank you, darling. She posted it in the room, the clip of the little girls. Where is it, though? The post of the little girls.
We have a beloved annual tradition here.
And the Jimmy Kimmel thing. If you get a chance, watch it. I'm going to post it in the room again. She posted it in there, but I'm going to post it where it shows the actual link. Watch it. I'm actually going to pin it. We only have about a few minutes left into the show, so I guess we can say our good night. And, oh, yeah, it's there. We can say our good nights and stuff. Oh, please. You sound like you were in that kitchen trying to make something to eat, honey.
I good night, everybody.
Like
we're talking to y'all tonight.
Friday, say good night.
Hasta la vista.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Oh, hold on. I don't know if she's asleep. Kelly, you still around? Oh, no. Should I see her there, but she ain't saying nothing. I'm going to mute, too. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our little show. And we'll be back on Monday for the weekend recap. And just I hope somebody took something in today and learned a little something as I take in and I learn from you guys as well each week. And I thank you guys for what you bring to me as well. So thank you, everybody. Have a good week. Again, happy birthday to Shamika. Even though I know it's over with, happy birthday to Alex. Enjoy your weekend. See you guys soon. We'll be back next week. Happy birthday to Mother Didi, Chanel, and everyone out there who else I'm missing. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great one. God bless. Bye-bye.